Hey, Gunbox here. Welcome to episode number 166 of the Mutt Men podcast. Today I'm joined as always, well, not as always, because I wasn't joined at all. I wasn't here at all last week. Texas, how was it?
What's up? What's going on, Fox? Last week was pretty interesting. I said off top that Fox is on vacation, and I get a comment saying, where's Fox? Like, do you not listen? Are you incompetent? Like,
they only tune in for your pretty face, Tex.
I had no face cam on. They tuned in just so they can hear your greatness that you be talking about. And I felt bad. I'm like, I should have called you. Cause I feel like we could record the podcast like that Saturday before you had left. But I wasn't trying to do that. I wasn't trying to do that. I was just chilling. So yeah, how was your vacation, man?
It was good. You know, went to a lot of the touristy spots of San Francisco. You know, I tweeted out a few of the things that we did. Overall, like, we did so many things. I'm not going to go into detail and bore people with, like, vacation photos with my words. I'll just say it was great. It was good. I enjoyed the time. Good city. Not as filled with poop as people say it is. Unfortunately, I was hoping to see some big old turds. But, yeah, I don't have an appreciation. Other than, is this a wild opinion? California can keep In-N-Out. I feel like In-N-Out burgers... They're good. Their fries are trash. What's up? Like, did I just get a bad batch, or what the fuck's up with their fries?
No, their fries are not that great. In-N-Out is an expensive Sonic. I've been saying this.
Really? Yeah. Like, go on.
No. So I had it in Vegas the first time when everybody was like, this is the best thing in the world. I'm like, nah, it just tastes like Sonic. And then we went to L.A. last year, then CK had it, and he had the same exact sentiments. I'm like, this is just the most overrated burger spot. And the fact that I think that's just like the hipsters thing, because like the lines are always long for a place that has average burgers.
Yeah, I like, because the place I didn't go didn't have bad lines. But maybe it's like Californians are going to get in our comment section just hating us. That's on Twitch, and man, I got a lot of hate there. But I got to agree, Five Guys way better. Like, there's burger chains that give you good burgers and fries. Like, when you can only deliver 50% of the combination, like, how good are you really in and out?
They're like, you didn't get animal style, so that's your fault. You got to go ahead and add more calories and just clog your arteries for it to taste better. Anything tastes better with cheese on it, guys.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck? Like, what are you talking about? A burger is disgusting, but a cheeseburger is amazing.
Wait, so you don't like their burgers either?
I just don't feel like it's worth the value. Like, you spend like $15 to get like everything, all that shit, and you can just go to Sonic and get like and it's like happy hour, and you get like a half off shake, and you also get like the same type of burger and like better fries or tater tots. Okay. Tater tots. All right.
Let's ask our guest, Eric Rayweather. What do you think about In-N-Out?
I think In-N-Out. All right. Agree. Overrated, but I think it's good. I agree with Tex, except I always said kind of a similar thing. I'm like, I feel like this is just like a slightly more expensive McDonald's. Like, that's how I looked at it. But
wow,
it is good. I do think it's overrated just because of like it gets the most hype out of like any fast food I think I've ever heard, other than maybe like Chick-fil-A and Popeyes. But those two are like, those live up to all the hype.
Wait. Who's saying Popeyes? Okay, I'm going to say, bro. I'm
saying, yeah, those live up to the hype, though, whereas, like, In-N-Out is good. It just doesn't live up to that hype. But every time I go to L.A., I'm definitely going to get it. The animal-style fry thing is definitely true. Way better. If you just get them regular, they are complete trash. But a lot of places' fries are kind of just trash if they're plain. Only a few. Even Chick-fil-A's fries aren't good if you don't dip them in sauce. So it's like, I think In-N-Out's good, but it's definitely overrated. It's a more expensive McDonald's, but I will eat it every single time I'm in L.A. without question.
McDonald's has way better fries.
They do.
They do. Real, but I feel like the burger's just better, though. The burger's just better.
Yeah, so that kind of equals it out.
Yeah.
All right, so onto the thick of the podcast. I want to talk about the agenda before we get... What's that?
I was just saying thickness. I'm sorry.
Thickness. T-H-I-C-C. It's going to be a T-H-I-C-C pod. So I want to talk about Texas's upload schedule right off the bat here. Then we'll talk about Position Heroes and Madden 20. I don't have a whole lot else that I want to talk about today on the pod. Anything you guys want to add to the agenda before we move on?
Yeah, so say Madden 20, right? So superstar abilities, all that stuff EA cover. We can go ahead and get back on, get your takes on.
Yeah.
All right. Cool. Yeah.
Okay. Rayweather, anything else you want to add to the agenda before we get going?
Yeah. Shout out to NBA for letting us get the first pick in the draft.
We spent like 45 minutes before this talking about NBA and Texas and Eric going back and forth.
The sports gods owed us one after what happened to the Saints, so I'll take it.
That's a good take. I mean, it's true, but I don't want to go into what we got into. But give me 30 seconds of where AD is going to go or if he's going to stay, and then your overall thoughts on your next 3 years.
I don't think AD is going to stay because the second Zion gets here, he's going to be the most popular guy. The marketing is going to be more behind him than it ever was AD because Zion's just a different animal. So I don't think he's going to want to be the number two popular guy in New Orleans. I think the Knicks or the Celtics are the two most likely landing spots. I still don't think Lakers are going to have an interesting enough package. So Boston or New York, and I think the next 3 years are promising. I think the next 5 years you can talk about maybe championship if you got to add the right pieces around it. But Drew and Zion are definitely two really good building blocks for the next, 5 to 7 years. So
yeah, and then whoever you acquire with the AD trade, right, which should be heavy.
Number three pick from the Knicks, RJ Barrett, would be, you're putting him right back with Zion. That wouldn't be bad. Tatum from the Celtics, those are good pieces. So
yeah, for sure. All right, so Texas, what the fuck's up with your upload schedule? Why are your only videos last, 3 weeks, Muttman Podcasts?
My thing is, you say don't support something that, what you're saying, don't partake in something that you don't, that doesn't, like, hot, I'm trying to
bring you joy?
No, so, what's your power uptake last year? You didn't enjoy it. You didn't enjoy it, so you didn't engage in it.
Yes, exactly.
Madden's kind of the same way right now for me. Because they have not done... So me and Vic talked on podcast last week. We counted on, at this time, I think it was one hand. It was four promos EA did from the end of the Super Bowl until basically positionals coming out this week. Yeah. Four! No, that's what?
Yeah.
Four promos, bro. Four. And I don't really need content in terms of to do news and upload stuff so I can get videos out every single day. It's just the fact that they just gave up. After the Super Bowl, they're all right, we're fucking done with this game. Let's go work on Madden 20 and just give them scraps. And so I just kind of been fed up since. Because I'm just I don't really want to be playing a game that doesn't really want to provide a mud offseason of pass. I'm still looking back at Madden 17 offseason, looking back at Madden 16 offseason, Madden 15. And this game still has yet to do something to pack draft. We talked to Crayo on a podcast about it. And they still have yet to drop anything that rewards you for having golds and silvers and tokens and all that other dumb shit that we have been holding on to for a while. So I just kind of got fed up. I'm going to upload. I'll come back in Madden 20. I'll come back when Madden 20 news comes out. I'll come back probably middle of the June. We can go ahead and get this information going into Madden 20. But as of right now, I'm not about to engage in a game that doesn't want us to play it.
Let's circle back to Pack Trash with Position Heroes on our next topic. Mm-hmm. Okay, you make a fair point. The only issue I have with you saying that, you specifically, Texas, told Jake Stein that there was too much shit in the game.
That was because they were fucking up. I gave you a reason why.
I don't care. I don't want to hear your rational answer. I just want to blame.
Okay, you can blame me. That's cool.
Part of a mob right now, Texas.
No, so the reason why I said that because it was that Madden 17. They kept the plus ones were pissing me off. And they're worse now because obviously power ups. But it was so frustrating seeing an 87 and 93 come out 3 months apart and just fucking plus ones on it. And so I'm like, maybe if y'all, and they kept fucking everything else up too on top of that with ratings and with just I don't know what else they were doing at that time. But yeah, that's why I say maybe you should drop less content. So I'm. And that was during the season when they were actually had other stuff they were trying to plan out. But as of right now, they're not dropping, they're not following their Mutt traditions. Jake on the podcast said they want to stay true and honor Mutt traditions. And we finally got positionals recently, but usually that comes out way earlier than now. In others' terms, we had other types of sets to collect golds and swords for flashbacks, all that. And it just seems like they got their money this year. The EA did their purge, and they're like, all right, we're going to focus all the efforts on Madden 20. So that's the reason why. You can blame me for the content. I'll take that L. But as of right now, they don't seem to want us to play the game. And that's, even House Rules has gotten stagnant. They haven't done anything to innovate House Rules. And it's just been, House Rules is just regular Mutt, but with extra points for doing certain things. I don't want to play regular Mutt. I don't. If I want to play regular Mutt, I go play regular Mutt. I'm about to try to be out here running the ball just so I can get 12 points. That's not fun to me. Why don't we have I like the first and 20 stuff. That's something different. I like the no audible stuff. we haven't got that many. We got two of those, I think. Everything else has been kind of just regular ass Madden. I'm like, I'm not trying to keep getting crossered the entire time.
Yeah, I like house rules is a whole other thing. We've made our opinion on the stagnant house rules pretty, I would say, known. And I agree with your takes. Even the no adjustments got kind of very meta formed around it, and it kind of kind of got a little annoying the second time, in my opinion. It depends on who you play against. If you're playing against bad players, sure, it's fun because you're seeing variable plays. But in the end, like in this first and five stuff where you only get two downs that we got this current week, all you're doing is getting a blitz every single time in your face. And like say one of your offensive linemen misses his block randomly, and all of a sudden you have to punt, and it kind of sucks because it's harder to take advantage of it. But you know, it is what it is. You got to adapt to the meta. I just wish they gave us more meta defining things.
My thing is changes. Like, if you're gonna give us house rules, don't just give us the tip of it. Like, I understand you wanted to roll it out, but the fact that we all have visions about what this mode could be and we're getting nothing for it right now, we're just getting the same old, it's kind of lame. Like, I understand the technology is may or may not be there. I hate that excuse, which is, but like, there's other stuff you can do around this mode to make it fun, and they just kind of seem to be one of those do the barest of barest until Madden 20 comes out, which then they may show their full ass. But until then, I'd rather do something else, because like it's just I'd rather just kind of just go like work a real job and just kind of like get my just do something a little different for the summer, as opposed to just kind of just uploading and going through the motions right now. That's why I haven't uploaded. I just don't feel like going through the motions of, hey guys, we got positionals today. We got four today because EA's milking the fuck out of this content. Or, hey, we got house rules today. The reward is not an overall player that you're going to quick sell for training because you don't need them on your team right now. So what's the point? And there's nothing to do with the training you have anyway, because EA hasn't dropped anything such as blitz events to let you use the training on to like buy certain things with, hey, cool. Like, yeah, it's just a weird offseason because they didn't put any effort into this offseason, and it shows.
Yeah, and obviously it shows in my YouTube numbers, even though I'm uploading just about daily. I'm not doing well, and most Madden creators aren't doing well this time of year. And so, like, Eric, a couple things. You are probably doing as well as your channel ever does right now, which is unusual for a Madden content creator at this stage of the year. One, how are you doing it? Two, do you think Texas is making a bad move by not uploading at all right now?
Well, which one you want me to answer first?
Do Texas first.
All right. Me personally, I mean, I would never just not upload for an extended period of time. Like, I would never not upload for more than 2 days. It's scary to me because I've just seen so many channels, you know, they'll go away for even just a few weeks or a month and like they can never recover from it. But then I see some other people that can go away for 2 months and come back. Everything's fine. I think last year, didn't you do that, Tex? You kind of went away for like a few weeks, and then when Madden 19 kicked up, like you were still doing great views, but...
I've done it three times. I just quit every summer. It's never been as early, though. Like it might come back to backfire, because I've never done it in May. Usually it's in June. Like, it's just like the end of June, but I've kind of been checked out since like April.
If you've been doing it for a few years, and it hasn't really affected you when the new game comes out, then... You know, you're probably okay, but it's just still me. I feel like it's never good to do that, because with YouTube, they want you at least uploading weekly. And if you go too long without doing it, like, that can hurt your reach. It can help, you know, tank your channel. I've seen it happen to so many people. So I would never do it. It just scares me to do it. So I'll find something to make content on before I go more than a couple of days without posting something. So, but in terms of right now, the channel doing well, I mean, the fact that EA is releasing news earlier this year is helping, because usually this is like the worst time of the year for me. But even before they started putting news out, like about a month ago, I kind of just made the conscious decision to say I'm just not doing tips no more this year. I'm just going to stop doing it earlier than usual, because doing tips to me was like saying, okay, I'm just settling for the bare bones views, because I know they're easy to make. They'll get 5 to 15K views. You know, the good ones will do 15. The average ones will do 5, 7K. But I kind of just wanted to push myself to try to make more creative content and talk about, you know, what possibly could be coming in Madden 20, kind of looking at stuff from years past and speculating or just going off of the rumors that I heard. And, you know, trying to put it in a way that's not like I'm reaching too much, but I'm trying to give like my insight on things. And it just started working for me. And I noticed that like when I put that effort into those longer videos, kind of breaking things down, that those tend to do well. And they do way better than the tips do. So now I'm kind of in a spot where I want to kind of carry that over into next year. I'll still do tips early in the year because they do really well. but I want to kind of shift my content a little bit to being more like doing news or doing like my opinions on things or doing like retrospectives, maybe even on old games or like comparing Madden now to like some of the older games, like which ones truly were better or not, you know, those type of videos. It just seems to work really well for me, so I want to keep trying to, I guess, capitalize, double down on that. So
where do you get all your B-roll from?
Like, what you mean? Like, the just, like, the background? I mean, most of the time...
The video that you use.
Most of my background stuff, for a lot of times, is I'll just hook up, like, if I'm doing Madden, I'll hook up Madden 19, and I'll just... Sometimes I'll actually just play a game for, like, if I know the video, I do the audio first. So if I know it's, like, 15 minutes, I'll just hop on, like, just do a play now game for 15 minutes and just throw that in the background. And then I'll just overlay, like, if I'm covering an article, I'll overlay, like, some snippets from the article. Sometimes I'll just put the game on and let the computer play, like, the sideway broadcast cam, and I'll let them just play for 10 minutes and put that on. But then for other stuff, when I need to actually get clips from, like, various games, usually I'll just, like, rip, like, footage from, like, trailers. So, like, I'm talking about NCAA, like, I'll show, like, some NCAA 14, like, trailer footage. Right. And then if I'm talking about NBA 2K, like, for a part of the video, I'll just get, like, 2K19 or 2K18 trailer footage and mix that in. Usually that's what it is. It's either gameplay that I'm doing on my Xbox or I'm just taking footage from trailers. Every now and then I'll have to rip something from, like, somebody else's video that might have a specific thing that I need that I don't have the means to capture, so I'll do that. But that's usually it.
I gotcha. So basically you're stealing other people's videos.
Yeah, basically. Something like that. Sometimes you gotta steal shit, I guess, you know?
I'm just fucking with you. So it's interesting, because, like, the way you do them, the way that you, like, because I consider yours kind of like video essays. Do you?
Yeah, that's what I've been doing more lately. Like, I've actually, for the first time ever, been, for most of my videos, writing a script, because nice. I noticed that in the old videos, and I've gotten this feedback a lot, is when I would cover news or do like an opinion piece or a topic, I would just go off the top and I would ramble and repeat the same thing like a little bit too much. So I'm like, let me just start writing scripts, because that'll prevent me from rambling and repeating, but also I can actually write it out so that it is more professional, and I think that has worked well for me. Some people come on some of my videos, it's funny, they're like, because if I'm talking about Madden or EA, maybe in a positive light, they'll be like, oh, he sounds like he's reading from an EA script. And it's like, well, I'm reading from a script, but it's my script, but it's just funny. But I think it comes across better when you do that. Sometimes I still go off the top for certain parts, but I try to write it down now.
I used to script out most of my videos back in the day, but when I first started my channel. And, of course, your views are going to be terrible, and I was a terrible, like, creator, and I think it helped me kind of find my voice, and maybe something like I always think like, oh, maybe I should script this out, and then I just kind of rip off the top of my head, and maybe it is worth it. I'm always trying to improve myself and hear from other creators and how they're doing, and especially someone doing, as you know, kind of blowing up like you are and doing so well, it's always good to get the knowledge, the bank, to kind of add to it that way.
It's definitely a lot bigger of a process, scripting, because you're literally like a video that I could have made, I could just read some of the news and go off the top of my head, I can do that in 15 minutes, but writing a script sometimes will take me a whole day, because once you actually commit to writing the script, it's like you're writing it, you want it to be as good as it is if you're going to put the time in, and then you're doing the research to find little things like, well, actually I don't know about this part, so let me go research this so I can add this in, since I'm already like making this a big deal, let me find out all the information about this. A video that would normally take 15 minutes could turn into like a 2-day project, because you're trying to fill out that script and make it legit. So it's definitely a lot more work. And then reading the script is like, I don't think people realize how hard it is to read a script sometimes when you know you're making a video. Like, it's easy to stumble over words or like,
oh, totally. Yeah.
Anticipate what you thought you wrote down and what the next words might be, but it's actually something else. And then you got to keep redoing it. But if you go off the top, then you just ramble and repeat yourself a lot too. So it's like, there's pros and cons of both, but.
So you fully write out every single sentence. Like, that's what I used to do, and then I've gotten better. So every single video I do now, or most all videos, besides for like some, I just make notes and then kind of talk through it myself. So you actually script out every single word. You don't just write like an outline.
No, for most, when I script a video, for the most part now, I'm scripting every single word, because I used to do the same thing. When I would go off the top, I would have like the little bullet points, but I would still ramble too much about the bullet points. So I pretty much now, if I'm gonna do a script, I script everything, and then the only thing that wouldn't be scripted is like if I'm covering EA news, and part of it I'm just like, I'll have like the opening scripted, and then I'll just go over to EA's blog and then read off of their page, because I'm just saying, okay, this is what EA put out. And then when I'm done that, I'll get back to like the ending, which will be scripted. So, but yeah, I try to script pretty much the whole thing now if I have the time to.
I got you. All right, cool. Good to know. So, are you playing 19 at all? Or are you kind of checked out of it with Mutt and stuff? And do you think, what do you think of Mutt content after the Super Bowl? Did we go through that last time you were here? Well, you were only here a couple months ago, right?
Yeah, it wasn't too long ago. I think at the time, like, that's when content was starting to kind of, like, dry up a little bit. I think I remember it was when they were doing the offensive MVPs, and it was like they were putting out, like, a little at a time, and then it got interrupted by, like, the draft promo and stuff like that. I'm pretty much checked out of 19. Ever since I've stopped doing the tips, I have been. That's, like, another reason I'm not doing the tips. So I'm pretty much checked out. I did get back on, like, I want to say, like, a week or two ago, and I'm like, I wanted to play a few games, and I kind of updated my team. I went and got, like, Derwin James's, like, his Easter card at the time because, I don't know, I become, like, more of, like I guess, a fan of him because, like, we met at the EA Sports Bowl, and since then we've, like, he's, like, hit me up, and he's, like, I want to, like, you know, let's play and, like, lab and stuff. So, like, we play games and shit now. So, like, I'm kind of, like, more of a fan. So, I'm like, I want to go get his card and, like, use him. So, I did, like, that. I played a few games for a few days, but then I checked back out again. The content is just, at this point, there's no – I don't think any content can make me come back. I'm just done with the game. So, I've been playing more, like, 2K. Basketball and what else have I been playing? I've been playing some old games too. Like I said, I just got the 360, so I've been playing some old games. But that's about it. As far as the content right now, it's definitely like I feel like it's too late in the year for positional heroes. I feel like they should have did this like a month or maybe even more than that ago. It's kind of a weird thing, man. Because I was hyping up Ultimate Team before it came out, and y'all were like, I don't know. And then, like, the first few months, I was like, look, I told you it was going to be like one of the best ever. And you're like, yeah, but we still got more months to go. It's a long year. And now it's like, the end of the year is, like, the worst Mutt. I feel like the first half was, like, one of the best Mutts we've seen, and then the second half is, like, probably the worst. So it's just funny how different both of the years are, parts of the year were.
Mutt is a Batman villain. It's Two-Face. It's crazy. But, yeah, I mean, like, Kralo essentially came on and said we had, like, the interns and the younger guys working on Mutt now, and all the, you know, more veteran, the better staff, the better workers are on Mutt 20, so it makes sense that we're getting less content that way. But
and then
they got a bunch of free people working on this game.
And then it's like, okay, they finally did position heroes, and it's like, just drop them all at once at this point. Like, there's not that much time left of the game. Like, what are you waiting for? Like, people are already tired of it. Like, give them a reason to actually want to get back on. Don't just put out like four or five players. Like, you know, I mean, I know they have reasons and protocol for all this stuff, but sometimes I feel like. And just put the shit out, you know, like yeah, it's just that point of the year, you know?
We want daily content, we want big promo drops. They obviously can't deliver on both. So they're kind of, like, straddling. They're doing more daily stuff. And to be fair, like, I'd rather have it where we get... So we're getting cards now Tuesday, Thursdays, Saturdays. And I don't think we... Are we getting any more power-ups this year, Tex?
No! Like, what do you mean we ain't getting no more fucking power-ups, bro? They're done!
I was thinking about Sunday.
They're done. They got people who are interns. An intern, by definition, makes no money. So basically, they got slave labor making Madden 19 information, bro. Content. That's crazy.
Yeah, I'm not going to comment on that.
But what do you mean you're not going to comment? Interns don't make any money. Right?
I know.
So technically, it's slave labor. You can't get mad at these guys.
Okay. Well, like, okay, so back to the three times a week. So... Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday. It's better than just getting it once, right? One drop, and then we don't get anything for... When we only get Saturday content drops for the next 4 weeks or 6 weeks or whatever, right? Is this better or worse than what it could have been, Tex?
I mean, it's obviously better than it could have been, but just because it's better doesn't mean it's still great, I guess. Or, like, it's because it's better doesn't mean it's still not, like, it could be improved. Just the fact that, like, you look at other Maddens of the Mutt offseason. There's so much to do. There's so much. There's sets. It was thought out. Like, Ultimate Smash was a thing a couple of years ago where you had to, like, do a bunch of other stuff. Whereas right now, you're playing Journey just to play the Journey. There's no point to play it. There's none. Like why do you want Jarvis Landry?
He's just like your level reward up.
He's just like every other receiver in the game right now. But if there was incentive to play, then there people would be I'd be all over it. But there's nothing. There's no reason to play other than the fact that you just want to support bad content at EA's dropping.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like if position heroes are it for the next 6 weeks. Oh, sorry, burp. If position heroes are it for the next 6 weeks, I'll be frustrated. But if they drop position heroes and then there's other content, I'm like, all right, cool. Because, like Kralo said, content will be light for the last 2 weeks, Remember that? And then they went ahead and actually dropped some other content. I expected to honestly get nothing in those 2 weeks. But then they dropped something. I forgot, some batch of cards. Oh, round twos or later round draft cards. I didn't expect that at all. So I hope Position Heroes are not it for the next 6 weeks. I really hope they do give us some more stuff, some more Summer Blockbusters, Ultimate Masters, that kind of stuff. Because Series 7 is last series, right, Tex?
Yeah, it's the last one. So, like, they had everything planned. That's why I'm pretty sure they probably had to bail on this stuff, and that's probably why the offseason is what it is. We were supposed to get Series 9. That was supposed to be the last series. Yep. They ended it on Series 7.
Yeah. I mean, is there anything they can even drop right now that, like, really would excite you or most people? Yes.
Golden tickets.
This is how I feel. I mean, obviously, look, I know golden tickets are, like, they're going to have, like, higher stats in certain areas than, like, all these souped-up cards have now, but it's, like, the cards we've been playing with for months now are just, like, so many of them are, like, what would you consider in previous years, like, in-game level cards. So it's, like, even when I see yesterday, like, that Jamal Adams, I'm like, man, that's a sick card, and, like, the card art looks good. Same thing for Ramsey, but it's, like, we've been playing with DBs that have stats even better than that, like, completely maxed out in all the spots that really matter for, like, months now. So it's, like, even though they're dropping these high-end cards, it's, like, well, it's not, like, something that we don't have at every position already. And then, on top of that, the market is so bad that, like, they're literally dropping these 99, like, god-level cards, and they're going for, like, 300K. So it's, like, even there's no, like, coins that even really be made off of it like it would be in years past. I feel like no matter what they drop, it's still just, like, it's got, like, less luster than it would in years past because of how the chemistries and, like, training and everything worked this year.
You mentioned a few things there I want to get to. So with the how cheap they are, that's just because of how cheap it is to make them, especially with what I put out yesterday with the training, with the power-ups. Mm-hmm. You're able to make them pretty cheap through the power-up method, especially with, like, Atwater and different other snow beasts and stuff, like Champ Bailey. So that's one thing. Like, the price of them are low because the supply is high. Like, if they didn't have it, if it wasn't so easy to make it, they would totally be, like, 600K. But that's just supply and demand. Supply is high. Otherwise, as for golden tickets, you're right. I mean, this is a self-inflicted wound by EA. They need to give us over 100 stats. But golden tickets, the reason why we want them so bad is to make our own card, is to make our funky guys, our makeup for our theme teams, yeah, give our guys with weird names like Fish Smithson, make him a 99 overall, or like Will Clapp. Like, just do some funny stuff for the game to make it more enjoyable. That's why golden tickets are needed this year. Not necessarily because they need to be endgame cards because we don't have them. Just because we want more cards from different guys to kind of either fill out a roster or just, you know, laugh a little with.
Yeah, or computer theme teams that are missing certain players.
No, that's a good point, because I'm just thinking that, like, now that you said that, like, if I were to get, like, a golden ticket, I could make, like, a crazy, like, Taysom Hill card or something like that for the Saints team. Like, that would be fun. So, yeah, I mean, that definitely makes sense for sure.
And then even with this position promo, like, they didn't have to do it with just fucking like elite card. They could have put gold cards in the sets too to drive the price up.
That, yes, 100% agree.
Like, could have, like, easily just did fucking random gold wild cards, or maybe if they wanted to get freaky with it, just do specific cards. I mean, all the cards are the same price anyway, but maybe one card might be going for more than the other, and all of a sudden you can sell a gold card for like 50K. It'd be kind of dope, but no, they said fuck that. We're gonna do like 8 cards in this motherfucking set, and you can just use power up and training to get this shit done. Like, suck my dick, yeah.
Yeah, I fail to understand how EA hears us.
They don't. That is, our feedback is, it hurt. We had Kalo on, like, 2 months ago, a month ago. We still don't have anything but fucking tokens, man. There's, like, come on! We had Kalo on, like 6 months ago earlier this season, talking about us, y'all still ain't update the Quick Sell set. They still ain't update that bitch. Our feedback is not, Gut Fox feedback is hurt. Whenever it's gameplay related, but when it comes to Mutt, they don't listen to us, bro. They say, fuck you. Fuck you, me.
Maybe we should put out a video, new glitch in Mutt sets, so that they just stay closed. They always fuck up my glitch videos. They always go ahead and patch those fuckers. Maybe I'll do something like, use the word glitch, but totally not a glitch at all, and see if that'll work for Mutt. But I don't know. It is very frustrating. Eric, you are... Oh, no, were. Game Changers are done. It's whatever they go with further. But you were Game Changers. Do you feel like EA listened to you more than as much as they should have?
Wait, repeat that again. You said Game Changers are done?
You haven't heard that?
I don't think they're done. I think the Game Changer program
was retired.
I didn't hear that. I think they're reworking.
Reworking it, but like Game Changer, the title's done.
Yeah, I mean, the title could change. I mean, potentially. I think the title should change, honestly, because the title is not really, like, it's not a reality of, like, what we do. Like, we don't change the game in the sense of, like, hey, we need this in the game, or hey, this needs to happen, and it happens. Like, that's, like, you know when people talk about the devs for, like, the games, and they're like, well, the devs want to do all this, but it's like the upper management of EA is like, well, this is what we want to do, so you kind of have to do what we want to do. We might let you do a little bit of what you want to do, but you need to do what we want to do first. It's like the same thing with us. It's just like another, like, level of that. It's like, hey, y'all should do this. This is what the people want. This is what we want. This would be better. And it's like, yeah, but we got to listen to the people above us, so we'll take some of this into consideration, you know. But, and some things do get changed, and, like, I think more so, like, things get, like, tweaked. If we're like, hey, there's, like, bugs in the game, or like, hey, this is, like, really overpowered, and this isn't really working the way it's supposed to. But that's, like, the same feedback they're getting from, like, the masses on Twitter anyway. Like, we're just, like, a louder voice of, like, what those people are saying. So, like, those things would get changed anyway, I feel like. But it's not, like, the thing, too, is, if it's like, hey, we need career mode in the game, hey, we need, you know, this and mud, it's like anything, any idea that you bring them, like, they've already thought about and talked about 100 times. Like, they're not stupid. They know what people want, and they know what the other games are doing and what they should put in their game, but it's just a matter of when and why they're going to do it. Like, there's very rarely times that you're going to bring them an idea that they haven't already discussed at length, like, multiple times. So I think mainly we're just there to kind of be that bridge between the community and them, in case, like, for the little things that maybe don't get through to them, like, on Twitter or on the forums, we'd be like, hey, you know, this has kind of been an issue, you might want to look into this. You know, it's kind of just a louder voice of the people, but they're still going to do what they do at the end of the day. If they can't fix something, they ain't going to fix it. If they know it has to wait till next year, it's going to wait till next year, no matter if we're telling them or just a regular Joe's telling them. So,
okay. So, but, yeah. Are you in the Madden 20 closed beta?
No, I didn't even know about the beta until, like, literally 2 days ago, and I'm like, damn, like, I didn't get a chance to do the beta. Like, I don't know anybody that is either. Like, last year you knew pretty much who had the beta. Like, this year I don't know a single person that has it. So it's, like, really weird. I feel like it's really, really, like, exclusive this year. Like, I don't know. I don't know a single person that has it. And last year you pretty much, even if someone didn't directly say they had it, you could tell by how they were, like, tweeting. It's like, oh, they're trying to, like, low-key, like, hint that they got the game, you know, because people like to flex, you know. So it's like, I haven't even seen any of that, so I don't know. I have no clue. Like, that kind of scares me, though, because I'm like, you know that when people have it, they're gonna, like, try to flex and let people know some way or another, or things are gonna get around, they're gonna tell their friends. Like, I haven't heard anything, so that scares me. I'm like, who the hell has it? Like, if I don't know anybody that has it, like, that scares me, because then who is testing this shit out? Like, I don't know.
Well, so you haven't heard anything about it. I think you don't know nothing. If they're going to do an open beta or anything. Because if you have the open beta, that's better.
Nothing. That's what I'm hoping. Like, I'm hoping that it eventually, just like kind of how last year it was, like, a little bit smaller, but then they just started, like, throwing codes and stuff at people. But I didn't even know there was a beta until a couple days ago. Like, I saw the link and I clicked it, and it was like, you're not, whatever it said, like, you're not invited to participate in this. And I'm like, well, that sucks. But I mean, I should have known that, because if I was invited, I would have known about it before then, you know. Like, I would have, Kralo or somebody, I guess, would have told me, email me, but...
Oh, send me that link.
We'll go on text.
Send me that link.
I gotta find it.
I want to see that.
It's really weird that, like, yeah, that you don't know about it, somebody who's involved in the game, but, like, who are they having test this game?
But that's what I'm saying. Like, they didn't make, as far as I know, they didn't make any... I'm gonna DM it to you, text. I didn't see any, like, announcement. Like,
drop it in the Skype. Maybe I can click it. Maybe. But, anyways... So, like, yeah, because that kind of concerns me. Like, do they just not care, like, to have their most, you know, I would say, in-depth guys or gals or whatever do and help them out or do the closed beta? Like, is it just EA employees with it? Is that why we don't know anybody with it?
See, that's what I'm saying, because I'm not saying that there aren't some of us doing it. I just have not heard anything, and I just feel like that's weird, because outside of maybe, like, a couple people that are, like, just really... Like, for instance, I'll just put this out there, friends. It's like, if somebody like a Mills, for example, would have the beta, he's one of those people that I know, like, he wouldn't say nothing. You wouldn't know.
Yeah,
like,
true.
He's, like, that disciplined. But the majority of people would say something, or, like, send some kind of, like, a tweet that's like, hey, you know, like, to where they're, like, alluding to it. So there's way more of those type of people than there are people like a Mills of the world. So that's what I'm saying. Is, like, I'm not saying that some of us don't have it. I'm sure they do. I'm more than sure they do. But I just haven't heard, and I just feel like that's weird. Mills, that I haven't heard anything.
So Mills tweeted out something earlier. And it was a weird tweet. Now, I know what you're saying about Mills. Like, He said, I'm not saying this is related to the beta at all, but like even if Mills has it, for example, he tweeted out this 2 hours ago, sports games. I don't like playing head-to-head. I'm not a competitive gamer. I like feeling emotions when I play the same way I feel emotions when I watch sports stuff. I like overcoming adversity in long-form entertainment. I don't need the game made for me. Just don't forget me. So he's not a game guy. He's not a gameplay guy. Like, wouldn't the beta, like, if they gave it to Mills and he's disciplined, like, that would be a bad person to give the game to. No offense to Mills. Like, unless they were just trying out new franchise features, it wouldn't be good in his hands.
In terms of probably trying to find gameplay bugs, yeah. But that's what I'm saying. But it's like, the best people that's going to find gameplay bugs is probably the pro players, right? But, like, you know how the majority of pro players are. Like, if they had the beta, like, you would know pretty much who has it. You would know.
Yeah, but the thing with the pro players is, like, in a lot of players that are trying to make money, like, if they find, like, an issue... And
that's that's bad too. Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
because they might keep it in the back pocket.
They would, and I couldn't even necessarily say I would blame you if you think you have something that could win you $100,000. Like, who am I to tell you to like be the bigger man and report it? Right. So, in my opinion, it's hard no matter how you do it. Right, because the best thing you would say like, well, just make it open beta because that way. You're going to get every type of feedback you could want. But then I think part of the problem with something like that is you're going to get so many different conflicting type of feedback. And a lot of feedback is not good feedback. Like, that's something I've learned just from being around all this and just being on YouTube. Like, a lot of feedback isn't good. Now, of course, when you're in the position they are, you need to know how to weed through what's valid and what's not. But I guess I don't feel like there's a perfect way to do it. Like, if you give it to just pro players, you know they're going to keep some stuff. If you give it to people that aren't really gameplay guys, well, you know you're not going to find the stuff you need. If you give it to everybody, you're going to get a lot of conflicting stuff and stuff that's, you know, you might hear a lot of things that are prioritized from the majority, but they're things that aren't really for the true betterment of the game in terms of how it plays, and then you might prioritize the wrong things based on your feedback. Like, there's just really no right way to go about it, I feel like, but... I feel like the best route would probably be putting out there and just getting all the information and then, like, trying to make the best of that. And then and then of the information you have, you talk to maybe the game changer and you say, okay, this is the bulk of, like, the most consistent information we have. As a group, what do we feel like is the priority here? Because then at that point, you can go based off of what you have. And most of us there, I think, would know better to say, okay, like, this is what needs to be prioritized. So that, I think that would be the best way to do it. But, you know, there's no perfect way.
Like, it's our job to give the feedback. If they do an open beta, it's EA's job to wade through it and know what's actually good feedback. You could tell, like, reading, just having reading comprehension and looking through people's comments over years, like, and not even, you don't even have that much experience. You could tell what's good at feedback and what's not. Like, who is making good points? Who is going to make the game better? I don't know. It seems easy to me to find out, like, all right, here's our priority list, like, to rank it. I know it's a lot of work, but it doesn't seem like it's that hard to do. And I mean, that's their job. Like, we can't just say, oh, it's kind of tough, it's hard to do, don't worry about it, you know, you only make $500 million. Like, it's something that, like, it needs to be done, and giving it to such a few number of people and we don't know anybody, it sucks, right? Because, like, giving it to all the pro players would be great, because if they had a forum to give back all the feedback, here's the thing, like, that closed open beta last year where we all had access to the forum, there were a lot of good feedback points in that forum that were not addressed before the game got released. So doing something that wide, that big of a release, I think is hugely positive for the game.
See, I think this year, last year the beta came in what, like early July maybe? Mid-July?
Yeah, somewhere there.
I think the good thing is, okay, if there's a closed beta right now and they have it to just select people, right? Well, it's still May. It's middle May, so that's good. So if they wait maybe a couple weeks, maybe like early June, maybe after EA Play, let's say, like week after EA Play, then they release to everybody for a few weeks. Like, I think that's something that could potentially happen, and that would probably be a good strategy because you're letting it open to maybe, I guess, who you feel like are the best people to break it down now, but you still have that plan to open it up later to get the feedback from the majority, and then that still leaves you some time to maybe make some adjustments. The game's coming out a little bit earlier this year, but if you can get a beta out to everybody like early June, get some feedback for a couple weeks, that should give you at least, what, like a month maybe to make some final tweaks before you ship, which would be good. Whereas last year, I feel like they didn't really have a lot of time to make tweaks before they shipped, and thus a lot of that feedback was put in for like post-launch updates. So I hope maybe they go about it that way, but there's just no telling right now. I think they will. But
yeah, I would imagine it's gonna be similar to last year. Maybe we're just freaking out and weird about this closed beta, because like the closed beta issues that are given right now, I think probably have the most weight of any issues that are given feedback, right? Because it's so much earlier.
Right. I'll
say, plus they probably want to drop the beta like now because they're still trying to make money off Mud.
That too. Yeah, that's a really good point too. Because like, if you drop the beta now, no one's going to want to play 19. No, people already don't want to play 19. So it's like, yeah, that's a really good point.
You can't stooge your own game until like you absolutely can, like, to like middle of like June or something. After like you're pretty much done. After the loyalty stuff rolls out and then people have to get a reason to play. Because right now, if the beta is out, people will be playing that for 2-3 weeks to be active.
I don't think Madden 20 should be. In the beta, I should be worried about 19 in content, but I see what you're saying.
It's businesses, man, like, I agree as well, but businesses do dumb things because they don't want to like mess things up for like their current project.
If 19 wanted more money, we'd have gotten golden tickets already, right? There's a lot of things they can do to get more money from the consumer base than 19. Delaying a beta to harm the next game doesn't seem like it's a smart move, with that in mind.
But at the same time, like last year, they never dropped the prices of points. This year they did, so they're doing things to step in that direction to get more money. Like last year at this time, this shit was still $100 for fucking 12,000 points.
I mean, I think it went back up, didn't it?
Did it go back up?
I think it was only for a limited time.
What the fuck? I don't buy points. It went back up. That's crazy. my point is now mute.
Yes. Or moot.
Yes.
So, Madden 20. Are we worried about abilities and X factors? I'll just say this off the top. I'm more worried about abilities than I am X factor abilities. Would you guys agree with me? Because X factor abilities, if you could trigger an X factor ability, the amount that it takes to trigger that X factor, you're already beating the shit out of that dude. So, being able to dunk on that guy, it's kind of like, so what? The game's already over. I already fucked you up. What do you guys think? Abilities, the passive abilities versus the X factor being in the zone. Let me hear from Eric first.
Wait, real quick. Let's explain to the audience that maybe doesn't know what's going on. What abilities?
You goddamn you know the three people that are listening to this are hard fucking core Madden players. They know exactly what X factor ability players are.
But maybe that fourth person that may come in here doesn't know what's going on, and maybe this could be
all right.
Like, I don't know.
I can see the point.
This could be a direct upload to your channel from this part on. Gutfox and the Muttman react to abilities. I don't know.
I already put that video out there, Tex.
All right, I got you. I'm sorry.
Explain to the. Explain to him.
I asked you to explain because I don't have my shit in front of me. Eric, you know what? Eric, what is it? Eric got it. He's our news guy.
So abilities are basically something that's active all game that players are going to have. The more like above average to elite players are going to have that's realistic to what they're good at in real life. So, for example, Julian Edelman in the slot will perform better in the slot. He'll get more separation on those short routes. He'll have, you know, he'll make sharper cuts on his routes, and he will make more contested catches from the slot because that's what he does in real life. Whereas if you line him up on the outside, he's not going to be as good because he's not as good on the outside in real life. Thus, he has no ability there. You know, and there's just going to be abilities for every player on the field. You know, pocket passers are going to get better accuracy than non-pocket passers in the pocket. Players that throw better on the run are going to throw better accuracy on the run. And there are ratings for a lot of this stuff already, but I guess now they're just trying to make these things stand out more. So some of this is definitely going to be, I would assume, very animation-based. Like, you're going to get different animations based on your ability. But I don't really have a problem with that as long as it's realistic to what they do in real life. Now, the X Factor thing is something that only 50 players can get, the top 50 players in the league, like your Patrick Mahomes, Odell Beckhams of the world. That is something where if they get in the zone, they trigger an X Factor. So, for example, if Patrick Mahomes gets in the zone, he can throw an 80-yard pass. Whereas in Madden, typically, the max you can throw is 70 yards for anybody. Now, for him to get in the zone, they didn't say exactly what he'd have to do, but they said something like he would have to maybe complete 4 to 5 passes of 30-plus yards in a game, which how many times in a game do you complete 3 to 4 passes over 30 yards? Not too often, just like Gutfox said.
Without taking a sack, a fumble, or an interception, right?
Or is I don't that after think
you've already earned it.
No. After you've already earned it, like once you're in the zone, if he were to get sacked or throw an interception after getting in the zone, then that would knock him out of the zone. But I don't think if you get sacked
Between
in the build-up to like those all those passes you have to complete, I don't think that can knock you out, but we don't know for sure. I don't really see a problem with the with any of it. I mean, it's all dependent on the gameplay at the end of the day. Like, if the gameplay sucks, then this is just going to highlight how much the gameplay sucks. If the gameplay is improved and better, this should highlight the gameplay being better. And that's really what it comes down to. The X-Factor thing, it sounds like for most players it's going to be quite a task to get them in that. Now, the problem with this is we know how EA is. With they adjust things when people complain. So when people are being like, oh, I can't get my guy in the zone, and they start adjusting it, and then it's just easy to get in the zone, and that could be an issue. So it's really, it's kind of a fluid thing. It could change on the fly, but it all comes down to the gameplay. If the game, they said it's more polished, it's more bug-free, they had a lot of time and resources to work on it. Clint told me that directly. He said the Superstar Abilities feature was actually not a very hard feature to build. It wasn't very time-consuming to implement. Thus, they were able to focus a lot of time on cleaning up the gameplay, making sure the abilities were truly balanced. So if all that holds true, then I think this is great for the game. But if the gameplay is a dumpster fire yet again, like it has been for the past few years, this is just going to highlight it even more. Like, so it's all dependent on the gameplay at the end of the day. And I don't expect the gameplay to be great, because it's never been great, at least not on this gen. I just hope it's better. But yeah.
You think gameplay in Xbox 360, PlayStation 2, PlayStation days are better than now?
Absolutely.
Really?
Without question. I think you had some years in there, like you had your, like, roller coasters, right? Like with any game, you know, like just like with NBA 2K, you know, some years gameplay is great, some years it's trash. But with Madden, it's been consistently trash since next gen. Like, I can't remember, like, I can't say, especially since 16 on, I can't say any of those years, oh, the gameplay was good. Like, 17, I feel like, was okay at points, but it still wasn't good. Whereas, like, you know, let's just say 360, right? Like, Madden 9 was bad gameplay. Madden 10 was really good gameplay. 11 and 12 was okay. 13, okay. 25, eh. The movement was good, but I don't think the gameplay was good. It's, you know, PS2 was obviously, like, the peak. Like, Madden 07, 08 on PS2, like, peak gameplay. Madden 08 360
was more
arcadey, PS2, but it was fun, at least.
That was the old generation by 07, 08, right?
Right, but 07, 08 versions on PS2 were, the gameplay was, like, at its peak, though, for those versions of the game. Really, the 07 version, I wouldn't even call the 07 version of, like, the 360 version of Madden, like, the true version, because it was, like, really bare bones.
Because that's the son-of-a-bitch one that I bought, and I was pissed, because
it sucked. Like, nothing there. Fun fact is, I have a video coming on this soon. I've been talking with a former, like, EA developer, and he's like, he dropped a lot of knowledge. 07 was supposed to be the year when they went to 360. They were supposed to completely rebuild the game. Like, that was the year they were supposed to overhaul and rebuild everything, but some shit happened. I have to look back in my notes.
There's a video on that I saw.
And, yeah, something happened, and then, like, they had to kind of, they got stuck with having to rebuild some things, but they had to port a lot of stuff over. So 07 was just trash in general on 360, because there wasn't a lot to the game. Like, you couldn't even do individual defensive adjustments that year. But 07 on PS2 and 08 on PS2 gameplay was freaking great. Like, best it's probably ever been, honestly. But
yeah, I highly debate those old games being good games in a 2019 perspective. You go back, I guarantee you within, like, 10 minutes I could find a bunch of exploits.
Oh, no, there were tons of exploits.
So like, how do you consider it a good game with tons of exploits?
Even 04, 05, which is, like, the holy grail for a lot of people, there were tons of, like, glitches that year. Yeah. I think the difference, though, like, one of the big differences is, like, the core gameplay on a lot of those games was just better than it is now. There were still there's always issues, there's always bugs, especially with EA, but fundamentally the games performed better than they do now. Not only that, though, outside of the gameplay, because while gameplay matters more than anything, it's not the only thing. The games were so much deeper, so there was more to do, and it was more, and they were just fun. Because
I don't agree with that either.
They were, though. Like, franchise was undoubtedly deeper. We had career mode. We're just now getting that back now, and we only got quarterbacks. Like, we had all that back, you know, 06,
yeah,
07, 08.
Yeah, when you look back at that stuff, you had franchise, career mode, but you didn't have Mutt, draft champion, salary cap. You didn't have a lot of the things that we have in 19
right.
either.
But all three of those things, they kind of fall under, like, that same umbrella. Like, it's all, like, you're getting your cards, you're putting a team together, and it's still is I agree. Like, it is still, even though a lot of people,
if you're discounting those,
because if you got the gauntlet, but then it's like back then you had like the mini games and the training camp games, like, and those were like way more fun than the gauntlet.
But in 04 and 05, you had mini camp games.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
I think those came a little bit later.
No. No, they started in 03. Maybe they were. They started in 03. Yeah. No, they definitely they did. I don't know if they disappeared any of the years, but they definitely started in 03. I'm pretty sure. I remember playing it.
But like, so you're saying mini games are the same as like Mutt and the constant content that we get in 19.
No, I wouldn't say it's the same as Mutt because it wasn't constant content. It was just, it was what it was. There was a lot of mini games you could play, but it was just, in terms of like comparing it to the Gauntlet, I would say like mini games were better than the Gauntlet though. Like that outweighs that to me. Like you didn't have Mutt, but you had like, I mean, 06, 07, you had like Deep Superstar Mode, which was fun. A lot of people liked that. And it, like the time was different too, of course, because online wasn't nearly as big. So like the need
Superstar
for
Mode,
like,
I think I feel like
same.
You're overrating that. That's sorry, I don't want to talk over you. Keep going, my bad.
No, you're good. Like Superstar Mode, it really. I know, I see you talk about it a lot on Twitter and stuff. Like I know, like it's not like a big deal for you, but it really is for a lot of people. Like it really. That is, I've seen so many people say that too, and it's true. It's like for a lot of people, that's why they play sports games. Like they don't want to play a sports game where they don't have a career mode, because for a lot of people, a lot of people aren't interested in just jumping on and just simulating a sport. Like to them, that's boring. They want to be in the game and they want it to be them, and like obviously nobody does this better than 2K with implementing the online into it, which I hope Madden does eventually. But the need for a career mode in a sports game, I feel like it's just crucial, and the fact that Madden didn't have one for so long was just such a oversight. Like it really is necessary to the game.
Yeah, no, so I think I said in my video it's huge. I used to play this a lot, but to talk about the depth of those old Superstar modes, it was not that in depth, like you're remembering it. I remember those old things. You basically you got a couple. The most you ever had was maybe the mansion. What was that? What was that 2K that had the mansion? But like
I think you had a house in one of the.
You basically had to play through all your games, and then like you wait till your free agency or ask for a trade, and then your off season's over. Like you maybe had an agent that you had a couple phone calls through the year too. But like
right.
I think we overrate the depth of that game
for the time though, right? Because
we can't look back at those games for the time versus 19, though.
But we can in terms of Madden, because Madden doesn't have it at all anymore. That's why. Like, they don't, like, yeah, if you're looking at it through the lens of, like, what we have in 2K now, like, yeah, like, it's not even comparable. Like, 2K blows that out of the water times 100, right? But if you're looking for the time, that was deep and great for the time, and if it would have stayed in the game and continued to be built upon, then it would be what NBA 2K's career mode is now. But when you're judging it from Madden, you can look back at the time because of the fact that it's not there at all anymore. So even just putting a bare bones version of it in the game to some extent is like, even with just a quarterback, is still a step up from not having it at all for the past, whatever, 6-7 years that it's been.
Yeah, but like,
I do agree to an extent. The old stuff is definitely. Like, the developer I was talking to said the same thing about, like, he's like, if you go back and look at franchise mode, like, he's like, a lot of that shit was hacked in, and just, like, if you played, like, further, like, years, like, you would see a lot of that stuff was broken, but a lot of people don't really remember that because they just know that we don't have it now, so it's not necessarily that it was really better then, but it's just, that illusion of, like, well, there was more to do, but I still think there's something to be said for having more to do in a game. Like, in Madden, if you're not playing Mutt or you're not playing franchise, it's like, what are you really, if you're just playing regs online, like, there's not enough to do in the game if you're not a content, like, daily content Mutt guy. Like, what's keeping you on the game?
Like you can say about the old games. Like, the old games I'd only ever play for, like 100 hours or so, right? Like, after you're done with franchise, actually, no, I've played a little bit more than that, now that I think about it. But, like, with Mutt, you play a lot more now. But, like, the old games, if we're just talking about content in the game, Superstar Mode versus Mutt, I don't know. It's two completely different things, and it's hard to argue that. But like, and that's just completely opinion. And I really can't even make the conscious argument which one's better than the other because it's completely individual based. So, getting back to the gameplay though, on those like 07, 08, you said were the best gameplays. If you go back to PlayStation 2, 07, 08 right now, and those games were literally given a port over to 19 right now, and we had to play them online the way that we play 19, we would fucking hate that shit. That shit would be so fucking bad. Like, people would be like, all right, this is fucking trash. I'm done with it. It's kind of like going back and playing. It's like kind of going back and playing, like, GoldenEye now after you play, like, Call of Duty. Everybody hates Call of Duty, but, oh, my God, Call of Duty is just light years better than GoldenEye. It's nostalgia that's kind of keeping us and our opinions on those things so high. They weren't that good when you look at comparative technology today.
There's definitely a part of it that's nostalgia of, like, 100%. Because I think the same thing with NFL 2K5. I'm like, yeah, like, it was deep. The presentation was amazing because, again, we haven't even seen it in a football game since. But it's like the gameplay, you go back, there are plenty of bugs with the gameplay. There's plenty of problems with the gameplay. But, again, it's like the, I think part of it's for the time argument. For the time, how good it was, and the fact that it didn't get really built upon. Like, the gameplay yes. started getting worse and worse. Like, yeah, from a technical standpoint, you could say the gameplay is better in terms of, like, just technical things like animation and things that are, and people hate the word animations, but it's like, get over it. You need animations to make a sports game. Like, all sports games rely on animations. But it's like the animation quality now is like nothing that we could do back then. So like in terms of that, like the types of catches you can make, the type of routes you can run, the type of tackles you have the ability to make is better. But the way the game performs, like as all the moving parts coming together to make what's the gameplay, it performed better for its time then than it does now. And it's like, if you go back now, it's like an adjustment because you're used to how the game played now. But when you like readjust back to what that was, like the experience is still better based on what you have to work with than what you have. Well, what we have to work with now and what the gameplay is trash. What you had to work with then and how the gameplay played out was really good in comparison.
Here's the thing. I agree and disagree with you at the same time. So I agree with you on the point that if you go back and play that game with like a friend or on your own, it's a lot of fun. Maybe more fun than right now. But if you play that game and you play that game and like and say you know as much about that game as we know about 19 and how to exploit things and using like, you know, the nanos and all, you can't even drop back out of single back. Like knowing all the things that we can find and exploit as a community now, playing those games, it wouldn't be as fun. But I agree with the point that, like, yes, it's smooth, it's nice like that, the gameplay's fun on the sticks and all that stuff is good, but in today's lens, it wouldn't be good.
I have a rebuttal to that, too. So here, I think, is the thing, right? Okay. So, okay, if because you're two types of player, especially for back then, right? You're a player that's you're going to play head-to-head, right? Like, if we even if you bring it to now, we play it, are you playing it online head-to-head or are you playing franchise? Now, if you're the franchise player, the gameplay is performing better for you because just fundamentally the core gameplay was better then. You're going to get a more realistic sim experience if you're playing it with that intention, if you're not trying to nano and break the game, which is what franchise people do. Yes. They try to play it simulation. So for them, it's better in that way. Now, why it's better for the competitive and us to play online, because even
can I say something before we move on to competitive and online? Yeah. For those people that are exploiting it and the CPU stuff, the thing is like, but then you have to manually nerf yourself as a game player. If you know a way to constantly beat the CPU and you don't take advantage of it, you have to manually nerf yourself. Like, is that fun? Is it fun to basically say, hey, I can't do this because the computer just doesn't, like, recognize it. And you can still do that in 19, to be fair.
I think for the average, when you take all the sim guys, like you have the guys that are hardcore that really they do know the game, and you have a lot of franchise people who are just casual. So for the casual people, they don't know how to break the game anyway. They're not holding themselves back. They actually do just lose games to the computer depending on difficulty. True. They're just playing it how they play it. But for now, when you talk about the people that are sim and understand the game, understand football, and know that, hey, certain things would, you know, be a disadvantage for the computer, I think what changes with those guys is those guys do what's necessary to make it challenging. They find the right sliders for them. They get together with other people online, and they try to find the right sliders to present a challenge while also, you know, trying to play the game as realistic as possible, because for them, cheating the computer isn't fun anyway, so they want to play it realistically. So even though it's like, well, they're holding themselves back because they know this would work, but I don't know, like they're trying to find that perfect balance, and I think that's what is fun for them, is trying to find that balance to make it challenging and play it as realistic as it would be in real life. So I think that's why it's fun for them. And then for the casuals, which I think is still the large majority of franchise people, are still just casual players. Like, you know, it's just challenging by default for them because they don't play it that seriously, and they never have. Mm-hmm. So, but then going to
competitive. Yep.
Now, the reason it's game is better for competitive, because I'll agree, like, if you're talking about nanos and stuff like that, way worse back then than it is now. Like, now nanos ain't even really, like, a thing anymore. Like, we've kind of, like, gotten rid of that for the most part. Back then, like, yeah, dropping back out of single back, very tough, but the difference back then was as buggy and glitchy and arcadey as the game would be if you knew how to abuse it, the skill gap was still intact. The skill gap now, there's too much RNG now going along with the problem in the game. Back then, not nearly as much RNG. One reason 08 was such a great game for a lot of people on 360, arcadey as shit, but there was a skill gap to doing it. The spectacular catches, the rocket catches, the nanos. There was a skill gap to knowing how to avoid getting sacked by those.
There's no skill gap in a nano.
There is. There's a skill gap in knowing how to avoid it. And there's a skill gap.
That's the same skill gap this year, being able to be like 52, 335, all that kind of stuff. That's not a skill gap.
People using
meta blitzes, there's no skill gap there.
There was.
People just put it on YouTube and then everybody can do it. There's no skill gap there.
There was. There 100% was. There were blitzes. 100%
disagree with you.
There were blitzes that came through so quick, like just 08, for example. There were blitzes that came in so quick. Like, if you were under center, you're not even making, like, it in two steps into your drop and you're hit. But there were people that knew how to get around it. They knew how to block it properly. They knew how to, like, evade the blitz. And they could run an under center offense versus the fastest blitz coming right through the A-gap you could imagine. Even all the way until the Madden Challenge, I remember that year. A fucking Chow, who works at EA now, he made it to the finals. Him versus Problem. Problem had the nastiest blitz that year. Everybody was running it, you know, after him. And Chow made it all the way to the finals running an under-center offense out of I formation. And he lost the Problem, but everybody was nano-blitzing that year, like back then. Straight through the A-gap, instant heat. And he made it to the finals of the biggest tournament, best of the year, running out of I formation. Passing, not running the ball either. He was passing out of I formation.
How is knowing a nano better than knowing nickel-blitz in 17 as a skill gap?
Because, well, see, the thing, the difference now is, like, even still now, there's still a skill when there is a good blitz in the game. There is like a knowledge gap in how to block that blitz, because there were some people that could block nickel blitz when W won the Madden Bowl. Why? Because he was blocking nickel blitz and no one else there really could do it consistently. So there is like a knowledge to finding out how to block those blitzes. But the difference now compared to back then is the RNG now is so much higher. The randomness is way higher than it was then. The flukiness of the game, the aggressive catches. Like back then, if you were rocket catching and spectacular catching, you were usering and getting into position. And if the defender user got in better position, he can knock it down or intercept it. Now you're just holding a button and it's a 50-50, or you are getting in position but you're dropping the pick, whereas back then you didn't drop picks nearly as much as you do now. The RNG is what makes it worse now, but there was still a skill gap to knowing how to block and evade these blitzes, which were much worse than even things like nickel blitz. Way worse, because they were super fast.
Yeah, and there's very little skill gap when all you have to do is set up a number.
Rocket catching
only took 20 minutes to learn anyways.
Not for the good people. Not for, like, for the average person. Like,
maybe an hour. An hour to learn than you perfected online.
I would disagree, because I was – 08 was probably my second best year, like, just as, like – just being competitive on the game, just really knowing the game. And it took me a while to get that down. And once I got it down, like, I never lost it, but – the thing is, there was still some learning that had to happen to it. Aggressive catch, there's no learning.
To this day, that literally there's no difference.
There's no learning to aggressive catch. You just hold a button. There's no way that you would ever convince anybody.
And rocket catching, well, it depends on the game. But rocket catching, you just click on your guy.
No, there was so much timing to this shit. There's no timing to aggressive catch. You literally just hold the button and you let it happen. I mean aggressive catch, and you just let it happen.
You talk about 16. Yes, I know.
No, even this year was
this year's high point in Hawaii. I know it's still fucking ass. I'm not going to defend that shit. That shit's terrible. I'm not defending that. I'm saying rocket catching is not this super huge skill gap. Knowing a nano blitz is not a super huge skill gap. All right.
Learning a nano blitz
is not a skill gap.
There's not a skill gap in learning a nano. The skill gap is in how you get around the nano, and it was a lot harder to get around those blitzes then than it is now.
To this day, to beat blitzes, it's cross not, man, that the different kind of defenses you see.
Not to the extent that it was then. And again, it's mainly my main point isn't even like the skill gap in blocking a blitz, because if you put the time in, you can block a blitz. Like, that's not the hardest thing in the world.
You're just saying this with no evidence. You're just making it, there's nothing backing you.
I played it. Like, I lived it. Like, I was – I lived it.
Well, I don't know if Tex played back then, but everybody
did you
played
play it at that? Did you play it at that level in 08?
I didn't play it competitively in 08,
but Were you rocket catching online in 08 with nano blitzes coming
not
through?
Online. But it's easy to find
that shit.
That's
what I'm saying.
All right? It's easy to do it.
The skill gap, no one that's really played it competitively for, like, throughout all these generations – would argue that the skill gap is better now than
people,
it was then. It was
it's
way
the same
better
nostalgia
then.
That people say why 04, 05,
no,
through
really
08
not.
Are better games.
It's really not, man. The skill gap was way, way wider than it is now. Now there's too, like I said, there's too much randomness now. Like that whole thing alone, like, Like, there's always been some level of randomness in Madden because it's a game, but it was nothing like it is now. And even Rex said that when he was, like, did his little podcast with W. He was like, after 16, he's like, I realized, like, we were going in the wrong direction because, like, we're chalking too much up to just, like, who's winning the animation right now. Like, whereas back then, like, yeah, there was still animations, but you had to put yourself in position to at least make these catches. Like, now you just hold a button. That's all you do. You don't even have to time the aggressive catch, whereas, like, it's bad enough you don't have to click on to make the aggressive catch, but you don't even have to hit Y at the right time. You can literally hold it the whole time.
Nobody's here defending aggressive catches. Who are you fighting against?
Because that's part of what lessens the skill gap. We didn't have that back then. There was none of that. You had to time everything, user. You couldn't just press a button and just let things happen.
It wasn't that hard.
That's a huge difference. You're acting
like this was a huge skill gap. Like I'm talking. It wasn't that hard. Right.
It was a lot harder than it is now, though. But that's what we're arguing. The skill gap was there was more of a skill gap then, and there was.
That's your justification of a skill gap is a rocket catch.
No, it's not just a rocket catch, but it's just one example of if you wanted to user catch the ball, you had to user catch the ball. You don't have to user catch or time anything now. Nothing. You want to make a possession catch, you throw the ball and you just hold the button down the whole time. You want to make aggressive catch, hold the button. Rack catch, hold the button, and you don't even have to put him in position. Back then, you at least had to put him in position and then time the catch versus your opponent that was also trying to time and get in position to get the ball from you. You don't have to do none of that now.
So clicking
that,
on the receiver...
There's a reason they took away
the swerve and other exploits like that, because it fucked up your defenders. The reason they took away rocket catching, it was hugely unpopular. You say skill gap, I say... what's the word I'm looking for? I guess I can't even say anything. I say... terrible for the game.
No, I'm not saying it's good for the game, but it made the skill gap wider is all I'm saying. I'm not saying that was a good thing for the game. I don't think rocket catching is good for the game. I don't think swerving is either. But you know what? There were still people that could stop the swerve, though.
Yes. Because
if swerving was that crazy, Voltorex would have won everything. He was the best swerver by far. Voltorex
literally got beat by the best player in the world. He got beat by Problem was the only thing that stopped him that year.
Right.
So
he's better player won.
It was obviously amazing.
Right. No, it was amazing, but if it was...
There were still people that could stop it. He swerved incorrectly, too, in that game against Problem. If he would... I think it was like, what, did he bullet instead of lob it or something? I don't know. Regardless, swerving, rocket catching, all those catching exploits were taken out of the game for good measure. Nanos were taken out of the game for good measure. Looking back at Nanos and saying the skill gap is the same thing as looking at somebody setting up a terrible blitz now and taking them out. Like, it's no different. It's the same skill gap. So what can they do? Sorry, we're going in circles. What can they do in 20 to increase the skill gap?
I don't really think they can, because they're too dialed into what they're doing now. The RNG isn't going away. As long as the RNG is at the level that it's at, the skill gap is going to be smaller. There's still always a skill gap because the same people are at the top every year. That's why when people talk about DDA, I think it's just like hilarious because.
Well, don't get on DDA, that. Don't get off topic. There's nothing they can do to increase the skill gap from
now. I mean, you could add timing-based catching back into the game. That would help a little bit. Because believe me, like you might say it's not hard. You might say, oh, it's not hard to time a pass. But for a lot of people, it is. Maybe not for you and for me. But for a lot of people, if you tell them, hey, you got to time your rack catch now. So just being in front of the DB isn't enough. You have to press it at the right time or you're going to animate and miss the pass. A lot of people are going to get messed up because of that.
I mean, as much as you think that's easy. It's not that hard to time things. So I play MLB The Show right now. I look at MLB The Show right now. You have the time of baseball between 100 miles per hour and 70 miles per hour.
To you,
timing throwing a ball down the field is not that big of a timing window. Like, the timing window won't be that close.
To you, not to the average player. Do you know how many, like, comments I see on a daily basis where people are just like just dumb stuff that I'm like, how could you even think this? Where they're like, oh, like... You know, they think that the cornerbacks catch too many picks in Madden, whereas we all know they don't catch enough. They drop the majority of them, and they get mossed on aggressive catches at a 50% like clip. But there's people I get every day, tons of comments, like they need to tune in interceptions. DBs are superhuman, and they just intercept too many passes. Like, that's the average player. To them, timing a pass is not something that comes easy. I'm not saying they can't learn it, but that's not something that comes easy. And at least make them learn it instead of just saying, hey, just hold the button down. Like, at least make people have to be better. Like, that's what the goal should be. Make people have to be better than it. Make it a little harder than it is now. I'm not saying you're going to make it this, like, thing that no one can master. I don't think Madden will ever be that. But, like, at least make it a little harder. Put it in front of people and make them have to do something more than just closing their eyes. Because right now you could close your eyes and make an aggressive catch, and that shouldn't be the case.
Here's the thing.
You should have to at least time it.
There's a huge skill. Let's not devolve our conversation down to YouTube comments. There's a huge skill gap between, as we know, the top end and even near top end and the common players that don't know how to play the game. All right? There's a ginormous skill gap that will never be to stop. So adding in something as unfun as pressing a button at the right time just because you threw the pass doesn't make sense to me, because all top end players will be able to do that like almost 100% of the time, add very little skill gap to the top end of the game. Is there anything else besides for just pressing a button when a pass is in the air that they could do to increase the skill gap? Obviously, I think making football concepts, I think, in my opinion, skill gap becomes reading a defense. Skill gap becomes on the stick, being able to kind of move your running back, make them more agile. It feels like sometimes you get locked in animation. The one cut system is okay, but not ideal in my opinion. So adding that where they can't just like sometimes just spin to win, so the other person has to, it basically becomes a metagame of you hold left trigger to kind of back up a yard, wait for them to spin, then you tackle them. That needs to come in. User hit sticks, I think, are too easy, and computer hit sticks happen maybe too easily. So maybe make it harder to time the hit sticks would add a skill gap. And then more rewarding once you're able to land those hit sticks. Like, there's plenty of other like minor things they can do to actually increase the skill gap, especially at a high level of competition. So like maybe you can't just call a deep cross or a deep corner every play to beat Tampa 2. Maybe they actually play those. So you have to check it down and make some moves.
Well,
so it becomes more of a chess match that way.
I think that's part of the reason they're putting abilities into the game, because Clint told me this directly, and I think he even said it on stream. He's like, this is like the deal. Like, if you have an Aaron Donald now, right? If you're going against an Aaron Donald level pass rush in real life, or just even an average pass rush in real life, you don't have time to hit a deep crosser every play in real life. Like, you do in Madden, you can pretty much, if you can block the blitz that's coming, or it's just a base pass rush, even if it's block shit D, you can climb the pocket and usually have time for that deep cross. But now if you got like those abilities on those like pass rushers that can get those instant wins very quickly, you're not gonna have time to throw a deep cross every single play anymore. So I think that's what part of what they're trying to do with the abilities is say, hey, depending on the ability your opponent has, it's going to make you have to play differently. Just like in real life, if you're going against Aaron Donald, you're game planning differently than if you're going up against a team with just, you know, above average pass rushers. You know, if you're going up against Earl Thomas, you're game planning differently than if you're just playing a defense that has Marcus Williams as a safety. You know, he's not as good as Earl Thomas. So I think that's what they're trying to do with abilities, is say, hey, you need to know who your opponent has, because that might affect certain things that you normally would maybe want to do. You have to change that up. We don't know how that's going to play out, though. I mean, it's Madden. There's a chance that could not work at all.
Texas?
But I think that's the idea.
See, the thing about it that annoys me about these abilities is, for one, they just so ratings don't mean shit at that point. Like, make ratings matter. I don't care about the abilities. Aaron Donald should be doing that no matter fucking what it is. He shouldn't have to have an ability to fucking get an instant win. Aaron Donald's the most disruptive pass rusher in the NFL. But because Madden can't make their ratings correct, they have to add another thing on top of that that's just going to make things icky. So guys that have really good ratings but no ability is going to be worse than guys with worse ratings but a good ability. That's what that tells me.
I think the ratings thing with Madden is interesting, because I think like there are certain things, and they even said it themselves, and I agree, like those measurables stand out, like speed rating matters. You know, jump matters. You're gonna jump higher. You're going to lurk better with better jumps. You will.
I mean,
because certain linebackers, you will. I mean, look. Don't get me wrong. If you just happen to trigger the right animation, you're good regardless. Yeah. But jumping definitely matters, and it's noticeable. Not as noticeable as speed. Speed's like the clear noticeable one, right? But things like pass rush aren't as noticeable. Like if you play with Aaron Donald and you play with like a pass rusher that's 80 overall, Aaron Donald's gonna get free more often. He's gonna block shit more on runs. But it's not to the point where it should be for like him versus his counterpart. And I think just those type of ratings, like, there is a difference, but it just doesn't show enough in-game. And, I mean, now, is that just EA's fault, or is that just those things are hard to show just based off the ratings? I don't know. So if they need EA's to do abilities fault. For it, I'm cool with it, because on top of that, like, the abilities is I feel like that's a fun thing for the game if it works right. Because people liked it in 08 and 09, and it didn't even do anything to the gameplay, most of them. It was just, like, cosmetic. It was like, oh, this guy's fast. This guy can tackle well. But it was fun for people. They liked it. They were mad when it went away. So now it's like that's back, but it actually affects how they play on the field. So it's like it's a fun thing. Plus, it's like a way for them to get around the fact that a lot of their ratings don't matter to the extent that they should.
See, like, I'm not gonna knock it till it comes out. Because it's going to be great for Mutt early on, because you're going to start seeing impact. Because I was looking at, like, throw power. So you said 99 throw powers, but throw 70 yards down the field. That's the farthest you can throw.
I think 67.
Yeah, so if Mahomes' mutt card has the X-Factor ability to throw 80 yards when he gets into the zone, that's I'm pretty sure mutt early on is going to have, like, what, 91 throw power at his max, so he can basically throw down the field, like, 30 yards further than most guys could. It's going to be kind of fun to fucking see. It's going to be great for that early on, but just in general, I'm just waiting for the day because, like, eventually they'll probably add more abilities to cards, but, like, it's going to be annoying when you got a guy that had, like Myles Garrett out here who, let's say, doesn't have the ability, but has better block shed, better finesse move, power move than Aaron Donald because he's a Browns player, and Browns players can get stats, but Aaron Donald's playing better because he has ability. And so, basically, you're not making ratings on me anything there. Ratings, at the end of the day, should mean how the player should play. The ability should be secondary, in my opinion, because without ratings, what's the point of upgrading cards? I'm just going to keep Aaron Donald on the team the entire year because, you know, he has worse ratings than other guy does. He's going to play better, which doesn't make any sense.
Well, I think we've seen with EA, it's like no matter what they put in the game, like they're all like pretty much like you're saying, there's gonna be pros and cons to everything. There's gonna be certain parts that backfire, certain parts of it that's cool. You know, it's like just like with training, it's like there was a lot about training that was cool, but there was also stuff that backfired because of it. And I think that's just the nature of like what it's gonna be when you put these type of things in game. Like I don't think nothing you put in the game is gonna be all good. Like there's gonna be some consequences to it. Like you say, like well. What they're hoping to do is usually not what happens. What they're hoping to do is like, oh, people will use more different players now because there's a different advantages to using them. But we all know that like whatever the meta is going to form, just like in salary cap, it's like, well, the idea is for everybody to build their own team to their strengths and weaknesses. But we see that like 70-80% of the salary cap teams all have the same players on them because there is a meta. And it'll be the same thing with abilities. Certain abilities will be better depending on how the game plays. So people are going to be like, okay, well, I'm just going to keep Aaron Donald on my team all year because he's good and he's got the best ability that is, you know, the most overpowered. So I know what they're trying their best to make the game more diverse, but the meta is always going to form and people are going to gravitate towards the same shit no matter what. No one's, you know, if you're using Brady and Mutt next year, it's because you were using Brady this year because you just like using Brady and you don't want to be like everybody else using Vic. But no one that used Vic this year is likely going to be like, oh, well, Brady's got this ability, so I'm going to use him next year. Only if everybody's using Brady because it makes sense to. Like, no one's going to – you're going to see the same team, same players.
Well, yeah, that's kind of how it always devolves into the same best players, obviously. I just want ratings to matter because we play Mutt. In regular teams, I get why it's not going to be as important because even in CFM and all that shit, it's because these guys are already going to have, like, 99 ratings. So they're going to be the best of the best as it is, whereas in Mutt, they always slow roll it. So all these players are going to be probably at max, we'll say 87 overall, maybe, like, 90 – maybe 89 for the best player again. Something like they copy the same overall formula. And so if they already come out of the gate with these things, like what's the point of like if you can get an instant win from triggering certain things like stopping the run on two plays in a row, all of a sudden the next play gets instant shed for a sack. Like it's just I just want them to focus on what's more important. We've been discussing ratings and making stuff make sense. EA this year took that step to like pass blocking, pass blocking power. But then you get a guy here with low pass blocking finesse at a left tackle going against a 99 finesse move defensive end, and he doesn't win as consistently as you would hope because they don't fucking seem to care about making it more of a chess game. It doesn't seem like their algorithm or their dice roll is favoring the guy that has a better advantage at that one spot.
So you know what I think too? I think like sometimes like less is more. Like I think the last thing they need right now is more ratings. Like they need to make the ones they have matter before they try to do more. So it's like the short route running, the medium, and then like the stuff with the finesse block, power block. It's like you gotta make the real ones matter more first because even still, who's to say you really need them to be that detailed? Because like if you just have like a base set of ratings that work really well, then you'll still be okay. But I think that's another reason why they're spreading the ratings out. I think that's kind of like a workaround for, well, some of these ratings don't matter as much as we'd like them to. So if we spread the players out more, then by default, because 99 power move is undoubtedly better and noticeably better than 80, but not enough. It's not enough of, it doesn't show enough. So it's like, well, instead of that guy being 80 now, if he's 70 power move, well, now it'll show a lot more. And I think that's maybe part of the reason they're spreading them out is because now that along with abilities are going to make those 90 plus guys feel like more powerful than they have felt in the past.
I just think it's better to just like in terms of like rewarding like how people build their teams, right? So if you know your opponent, like this kind of encourage you not to use the same players. Like Lawrence Taylor is obviously the best player in the game, but because he has 99 power move and finesse move. But like early on, like if you know your opponent has like a really good pass block power, I just like I like being able to like what do you call it it's basically chess. I like being able to see, okay, so he has this guy, I want to counter this with this. Oh, so he has a short route running guy out here, so I'm gonna put this guy on him because he's not really good at running deep, so I'm not gonna worry about this guy running anything that's gonna break me. So I like just that element of the gameplay, because it's actually like real sports at that point if you can come out there with the advantages. Eric Flowers was a trash can in real life, and so teams just ran through him, whereas in Madden, Eric Flowers can block Lawrence Taylor because ratings don't matter that much.
No, that's good.
What's the point of that? If you're not running block shed D, Eric Flowers can block Lawrence Taylor.
Sad to say that is true, yeah.
Yeah, because they don't fucking care. I had Steve Smith block Lawrence Taylor. Steve Smith is like a whole ass 185 pounds blocking Lawrence Taylor because he was that outside linebacker and he blitzed him. And Steve Smith just suns him. This is not how this is supposed to work. And then now with the abilities throwing into this way, I'm just going down just the path of no ratings aren't going to matter as much anymore, which sucks. It's going to be cool to get these amazing types of real life amazing, these can like Julian Edelman's like I guess rat catch ability. It's gonna be kind of cool to see that, but I'd rather them focus on ratings being the trigger for these as opposed to just giving these X Factor and these abilities to cards that I don't really think need them to make them play better. Just fucking focus on ratings.
Ideally, they do something of both. Like the superstar ability is something that they can't display with ratings. Like they show how Mahomes has like the dead eye look. Like I don't know how you do that in ratings, or like Rodgers does the tippy toe animation while he's throwing. That's more animation based than ability. But like I agree, Tex. If they could work on something with like weight, like back when I was testing strength and weight, I'd have like a center with that's like 160 pounds, zero strength, and with high end like pass block stats, and a defensive lineman who in real life would be able to pick that guy up and toss him to the side. They curl 160 pounds in real life, and they can't do that in Madden for some reason. So that's definitely weight and strength and all that stuff and physics needs to be looked at. But abilities, ideally, I agree, abilities should be something that can't, kind of like traits, that they can't be really reproduced in stats. Like, Mahomes can maybe throw a pass 20 yards left-handed. I don't know if you can make that into ability. If you're rolling out left and you got to go a quick drag, you can go with your left hand if you're getting tackled. I don't know. But, so, I'm on the fence. I kind of like them, but I see what you're saying, Tex.
Yeah, it all depends on how they play, obviously. I just don't like any game that's not going to worry about the stuff that we look for in Mud. Like, if I can just rock out with a card, like, if I can rock out with Edelman all year and he's my red zone guy because I trigger him to get the his ability, which is just make any possession catch.
Yeah.
I'm just going to fucking rock out with an 85 Edelman all year long and just in the red zone throw low point passes fucking on out routes.
Yeah.
So I'm going to fucking, that's all I'm going to do. Like, it doesn't make any sense not to do that. So, and that's why I'm kind of worried about this, because there's only reason to upgrade again if these things are as powerful as they're going to be. It's going to be for speed. It's going to be like 91 zone all over again. You don't need to upgrade at all unless you want to fast your card.
Yeah. Yeah, it's 100% true. Like the abilities, and that's why they've tried to stress that they are testing and trying to balance them so much, so that way we don't have those kind of exploitable things. And of course, we'll find something in this community that they missed, and then they'll end up having to patch it. So the only biggest issue becomes like, will guys get angry that their card now performs worse because EA said they didn't want to do that in previous years?
I probably won't. I mean, I don't know. I want to see this in play. I wish they would actually show gameplay footage from Madden 19 with this stuff in play. I don't know why they got to show Madden 20 shit. Maybe it's kind of hard to code this into Madden 19, but
probably,
yeah. I would like to see how this would work going forward, because I mean, I don't know if you watched the broadcast. Clint was talking about how they improved tackling as well, but he also made broken tackles more frequent too, which is obviously like a call to this year's game. So because it want to focus more on strength, he said, and I'm like, but I'd be hitting dudes in the backfield and they no momentum, they'd be breaking the tackle. So I'm not really looking forward to seeing how this is going to play, because as of right now, I'm not really excited about anything that they talked about.
Yeah. Yeah, and we'll see it. We'll see more gameplay on the, 23rd, maybe, is it?
See, I don't even know if they're showing. I hope they would show a little, but it's like, I don't even know if they're showing gameplay or they're just talking about what's going to change about gameplay.
Oh, okay.
I would assume they're going to show at least maybe a little something, but I don't think we're going to see, gameplay till after EA Play. Or I know they're going to do, something during EA Play, but I don't know how much they're going to show. But I don't think they're going to show a lot of gameplay on May 23rd, because if you think about it now, like, they haven't shown many, like, even screenshots even on the streams now. Like, they've shown very little, so I don't think they're going to show a lot. I think people are thinking that. I think they're just going to talk about, like, RPOs, how they changed the playbooks and, like, stuff like that. And just maybe the bugs that they've cleaned up, like legacy issues. But yeah, the hopefully gameplay, they show a little something at least.
Yeah, gameplay legacy fixes are going to be 5/23. Man, I don't. Every time they say they fix legacy stuff, bro, shit always somehow finds a way to pop back up into the game. Like, I don't have any faith in them. Once they come out and say we rewrit the entire code for Madden 20, I'm not going to believe anything they say.
They say they fix it,
and then all of a sudden we get the game on launch tonight and it's a run past glitch again.
I mean, they're just in a position now where they can't rewrite it. They can't rebuild it. Like, they could have in 07, something happened, and then now it's like, because if they're going to rewrite it and rebuild it now, like, I don't know. Like, would they need to take a year off? Like, I don't think so.
I feel like you can outsource a studio just to do that for the next year's game. Like, you can just, like, EA makes enough money. GutFox makes a point of this. EA can stop spending the money that they spend on the Migos and on EA Play for nonsense like that, and then just rewrite Madden.
When I was talking to the dev that used to work there, and he left, like, even before Rex did, and I said the same thing. I'm like, I think what people get aggravated is because, like, well, EA's got money. Like, just hire more people, and you can get more done. And what he said to me was, he was like, nine women can't have a baby in 1 month. He's like, it doesn't matter how many people you bring in. Like, it's like at a certain point, having too many people working on the game is a bad thing too, because there's so much code. Like, even if you're rewriting stuff, like, there's still some things that have to stay, and there's so many things that have to work with other things and other departments, and you have to communicate with everybody to make sure, like, this stuff's not going to fuck up what they're doing, that this is going to work with what they're doing. And, like, when you get too many people in, that can be a problem too. Yeah, like, so it's, I mean, and, like, I don't, like, I'm just taking him for it because he's, like, a developer, so I'm like, okay, well, I know you know what you're talking about to an extent, and he doesn't like EA at all, so, like, I know he's not, like, trying to defend them, because he talked a lot of shit about them, like, in our conversation, but it's, like, there were some parts where he's, like, you know, some things are, like, you know, EA does get kind of a bad rap for that. It's, like, it's really hard to get around some of these things, and even if they wanted to take a year off, I don't think they would, not for Madden, because it just brings in too much money. But even if they wanted to do that, like, the NFL ain't going to allow that anyway. So,
yeah, no.
I think you would need to do that to rebuild a proper game. I think you would have to take a year off and then maybe just, you know, update content on the game, rosters and stuff like that for a year. But, like, the NFL ain't going to allow them to do that. So
NFL's not going to want them, or anybody, like, we don't want them taking a year off either. We want them to keep putting the game out. But what needs to happen is, like, how Apex was designed in secret. Apex wasn't announced. You know what the fuck these motherfuckers are doing. They thought they were going for Titanfall 3, and all of a sudden, here's an Apex. So how about we get a secret organization that working on making Madden 22 better? Like, it just seems irresponsible to keep building on top of, like, bad foundation.
It's like, I think they're past the point of being able, I think, to rebuild the whole thing, because it's because of certain things that's in place. Like, because they have to, if they're going to rebuild, like, fresh, right, and say, like, okay, Madden 22 or even 23 is going to be, like, a whole rebuilt game. Like, there's still things we have now that still need to be over there that would have to be completely rebuilt. And if you rebuild it over there, you're, like, kind of interfering with what you're doing over here. And, like, there were certain things that were built and put in place over here so to make sure that, like, features wouldn't get lost again. Like, that's something I'm going to talk about when I do the video on it. Like, a big reason features were lost is because they had no choice but to lose them because of, like, what they were operating with. So then they put things in place to make sure that going forward they wouldn't have to purposely, like, lose anything. So now you got to, like, take all that stuff that you did here, bring all of that over there, rebuild on it's a lot. Like, I don't know, like, I'm not saying it's impossible.
I didn't quite get you there.
Okay, well, like, for instance, like, as an example, so, like, do y'all remember, like, Madden 12 to Madden 13, where franchise mode just got, like, gutted, like, just everything got ripped out of it and it was just bare bones for no reason, right? Because you do that if you change generations that you used to that, but they did that mid-generation because the engine they were operating on for franchise then, the reason they had to keep starting over each generation is because what they had for an engine wasn't really, I guess, a quality engine. So they couldn't, like, transfer it over. So then from Madden 12 to Madden 13, it's like they made the conscious decision of, we need to build an engine that we can carry over generation to generation so we don't have to keep starting over with franchise every time we go to a new gen. So, but in order to do that, they had to lose everything that they had. They could not salvage anything. So that's why when you go to 12 to 13, it got gutted. And people are like, why the fuck would they just gut franchise? And people are like, oh, because they're just going to sell it back to us later. But that wasn't like, yes, they do that, but that's not like why it went away. It went away because they had, it was like the necessary evil to make sure that with the new engine that it would never have to go away again. So in theory, you shouldn't see features leave franchise mode ever again unless they change that engine, which he said they probably wouldn't because they built that engine with all of that in mind to where they're going to carry that over. But I guess the problem is it took the where EA was at fault is it's since they implemented that engine in 13, they've just done a shitty job at getting the stuff built back out in a timely fashion. They kind of dragged their feet for a few years and didn't do shit. That's kind of where they're at fault. But the fact that it went away was kind of something that was necessary in order to make sure that it wouldn't go away again, if that makes sense. So you have all that type of stuff in place. Now you have to redo all of that. You have to rebuild all those engines, and you have to like you can't have a Madden 23 and say we rebuilt the game and then say, oh, we're not bringing over the full franchise and the full career that we've been building on the last gen all these years. Like, it's just a bad spot to be in. I'm not saying it's impossible, but I don't know that I see it happening. But if it doesn't happen, then the gameplay is never going to get to its true potential because it can't. So yeah. It's like a rock and a hard place.
It's not a rock and a hard place. Just if you want to make this game and try to do it correctly, you have to do it that way. I don't give a damn if you got to like if they got to drop Madden with just Mutt instead of fucking with franchise. Like, cool, whatever. Mutt makes more money anyway. Franchise sucks all the time, regardless. Make franchise good, Madden 24. But if you want this game to be good and you want the gameplay to be consistent, you want this stuff, the ratings to actually matter, and it's going to require you not to keep doing these quick fixes that end up taking 4 hours because you're on a Frostbite engine, and all of a sudden you're dropping a lesser product because of the amount of patches you're doing. Like, it makes more sense to just not take time off, but get some people that are just that you don't mind paying a lot of money to just to make it happen. Because other game companies come out in 3 years and they come out with games that are pretty flawless. Yeah, the thing companies too. Movie companies that come out, like, have you seen Spider-Verse?
No, I haven't.
Spider-Verse is probably the greatest like animation movie like of all time, and these guys spent the time like in terms of like what they did. It looks like a comic book, but it's in live action. Like, they did all the shit that you would want them to do to make this movie look great, and they didn't fucking cheap out and say, "Oh, we're gonna go ahead and do the traditional way because it's what we've been doing for a while." If you want people to invest in your product, you got to invest in it yourself, and they don't seem to want to invest back into it. Besides, just keeping the bare resources on it, and I'm like, no, just do some better things, bro.
See, the interesting thing too is like we're talking about, like, you know, can they do it? Will they do it? You know, is it possible? But it's like, I think the reality too is like, it may come to a point where they're forced to just regardless, because if you there's so many things in the game that they can't really control now that they want to control. It's like the same when they're like, oh, you know, we tune down aggressive catches 60%, and then it like goes up 60%. It's like, and you see that happen year in and year out, multiple times a year. There's so many things they're trying to control and fix with the game now that it's very clear that they're struggling to do because of the legacy code and the foundation having those cracks in it. So if that continues, I don't know how many years, maybe it's 10 years, I don't know, but you would think it's going to get to a point where like they just have to start over because the game just gets that far gone in terms of them not being able to control the game. And what we see now is still a very playable game, even though it has problems. It's still a very playable game. But what if it gets to the point where it's not that playable? Then they have to start over. So I think eventually, you know, they're going to be forced into it either way. I just don't know. I don't know if that's a 10-year thing. I don't know how long that's going to take. But if the foundation is bad, like, on anything, eventually it's going to crumble. Like, so
yeah,
they might be forced into it eventually. So maybe it would be smart to start on it so that if they don't get to that point where it collapses in on them and then they're really screwed.
Technology's getting to the point where it's like, it's going to keep getting more technical, like more, it's going to keep getting more, like getting harder and harder to do, obviously, because it's going to be more like with graphic cards. PS5 is coming out, so that's going to be a different way to write the game for that. So it's just going to keep getting more complex, and they should probably look to do something before they are forced to fucking take a year off because they decided to keep putting duct tape on the fucking holes over the boat. Like, duct tape's good, but it'll get you to a certain point. You end up fucking sinking into the ocean eventually.
I'm really curious to see this year. This year, for me, Madden 20 is... this is like a very pivotal, I think, like, crucial place for Madden. I think because they... like, I keep saying this in a lot of my videos. Like, they, for the past few years, they have not to this degree been like, look, this is going to be the most bug-free game we've had in a while. Like, we had a lot of time. Like, they're always saying, oh, yeah, we're fixing legacy issues. We know we're working to make gameplay better. But this year, they're, like, really on this, like, and we haven't even got to the May 23rd thing yet. So that they're going to only big it up more then. But they're really all in on this, like, look, we really cleaned up the bugs. We really were able to tackle a lot. So, like, to me, if the gameplay this year is not significantly better than at least the last 3 years, then that tells me that, like, we're at a point of there is no return. Because if they actually were able to put a lot of time and resources and are claiming, like, no, we fixed a lot of bugs this year and we still have a shit ton of bugs and gameplay that's not noticeably better than the past few years, then to me that just says it's the gameplay is never going to get to a state. Because I'm hoping this year, best case scenario, was like, you know, we have a gameplay that's it's decent. Like, hey, you know, this isn't a terrible shit. This ain't a dumpster fire. This is okay. It still needs work, but it's okay. It's steps in the right direction. But if it's the same we've been or even worse, God forbid, it's like, okay, it's not going to get better. Like, so this is a pivotal like year for me in terms of that.
I'm never believing a company that says it's our most bug-free game when they had a fucking fall for a glitch for 2 weeks. They don't deserve my benefit of the doubt. They don't deserve your benefit of the doubt. Don't try. How does like, that shouldn't have happened. Yeah, I'm not just a company that said we tune aggressive catching and traffic, and I still get aggressive caught by four people. With four people around Calvin Johnson. Like, you just, they can say all this shit. I'm not going to believe it until I see it. I'm not gonna get hyped for something that they're saying when, for the most part, everything they've been saying has been a lie. It's the same company that says, we heard your feedback, we're going to fix some stuff, and nothing is touched! Like, don't believe anything these motherfuckers say! Cause
I mean, I make videos, like, for content and to be optimistic, but I always tell people, even the ones that comment, they're like, why should we believe this? I'm like, well, you shouldn't. That's why you rent the game. Like, you'll never once hear me tell somebody, buy the game, it's good.
Even EA Access, it's good. Don't rent it. $5, PlayStation and Xbox this year.
That's what I say. I'm like, but I always say renting over anything else because there are a lot of those people that's just like, well, I don't even care if it's $5. I don't want to give any money to EA. And I'm like, I get it. Like, some people are like that. Whatever, go rent it from Redbox for like $3. But I'm like, you could do that. EA Access really is the best deal because you can try out other games that's on there that you may end up liking. So why not? But it's like, that's what I tell people to do. Even if I love a game, I'm never going to tell somebody to buy it because everybody wants different things out of a game or has different standards. What I like about it, they might not have what you want. There are literally people that will not buy Madden if they don't put mouthpieces in it. And it sounds stupid, but there's people like that. So you buy the game, see if it has what you want. I mean, don't buy it. Rent it, see if it has what you want, and then determine if you want to buy it. But you shouldn't trust them. You shouldn't trust a lot of these companies because they have been putting out – they've been overhyping and then putting out subpar products. So it's always – at least with games, you have that option to rent and try it out. So you always should do that first.
Yeah, always.
We're going to get it regardless because we make content and stuff like that. But, you know.
Reviews are very, very important, especially if you are not, like, going to be playing this game besides just, like, head-to-head and stuff. Like, if you're playing, like, just casually, that's probably still not worth picking up. But I just don't know what this whole thing so far. Maybe mutt information that comes out when this goes live will be kind of, like, hype. But as of right now, like, nothing has gotten me hyped for Madden 20.
Well, see, that's the thing, because you're only a mutt player. They haven't talked about mutt.
Well, it's not even just that. Like, the abilities are going to be a mutt. I'm not excited for that. I mean, I guess it's going to be fun early on, but if it fucking gets to December and there's no need to upgrade my cards, I'm going to be really annoyed. That's my biggest complaint. Like, it's going to be great being able to throw, it's not going to be Tyreek Hill, because you might not be mad, but, like, being able to throw 80-yard bomb for getting Mahomes into the zone to, we'll just say, DeSean Jackson. He runs by everybody. It's going to be fun and mutt just kind of making your opponent rage quit when he sees this dude just throw the ball from the 10-yard line to the 90, to the other 10-yard line, basically. It's going to be interesting to see. But I'm going to be really annoyed in fucking August at the end of December, and I still got this fucking possession catch monster that doesn't drop any touchdown passes in Julian Edelman on my roster with 85 speed. I'm going to be really annoyed when I see that. Like, this dude's out here running the slowest routes and still making all these catches.
I don't know. I mean, it's like, like I said, I think a lot of it with mutt, it's hard to balance. Like, you're always running that risk of people just not upgrading past a certain point using the same players. But it's like, with having so many abilities, I'm glad they didn't just put, like, 10 of them in the game. Like, how, like, Redkins were in mutt, like, there was only so many. With having a lot of abilities, I'm hoping that, like, maybe for, I don't know if people like you like to, because you like to experiment with things and try new things out. So, like, I'm thinking, like, that could maybe potentially bring some excitement for people. It's like, well, let me try out like a team with just these type of guys or just those type of guys, and just like do like just how people do theme team like type videos, like this type of draft, or like putting all AFC player, whatever, you know, like you do the same thing with abilities or something. Like, I don't know, like there's I think abilities will open up a little bit more for content, but I mean, how much I don't know, but I think it will help a little bit at least for that.
I hope it like opens up more for gameplay and just stuff too, because you'll be seeing different players. I just think there'll be like different people out there to fill. But you just, we're gonna find who are OP guys. We're gonna find the guys that have easier things to trigger. There's one of the ability to talk about. You can cut back where you can go left, right. You can literally, you get the ball handed to you out of the backfield. You can even make go straight left, straight right. I'm like, that's gonna be fun when like you're gonna try to run the ball and or try to stop the dude's running. He just fucking sees your defensive end and just runs the opposite direction.
Like, I think the thing with this year is like, and we're gonna obviously find out a little bit more in a couple weeks, but I think more so than last year, especially, there's at least a few things to like get excited about. Like last year, there was really nothing. Like, I don't think anybody was really excited about real player motion. Like, there was nothing. At least this year, it's like, for the people that want career mode, like, I'm excited about it. I want to play it. I never was excited for long shot. But career mode, I'm actually, like, excited. I'm going to play it. Now, franchise, I'm probably not going to play franchise. But, like, abilities, that's exciting. Because in 08 and 09, they didn't even affect gameplay, but it was just fun having them on the field. It was, I liked it. A lot of people did. That should be fun. Now, whatever else we find out could add to that. But, like, last year, there was nothing. Like, what last year made you excited about the game? Like, the two biggest things were custom draft classes. Okay, if you don't play franchise, who cares? And real player motion, which was just like, okay, that's cool, but that's not like the feature that you lead out with. That's not like the big feature, and that's what it was last year. You know, 18, it's like, okay, the introduction of long shot was interesting because we didn't really truly know what it was. So it was like, all right, this could be interesting. They added mud squad. It's like, all right, team play, that's cool. But like last year, there was nothing. So at least this year, that's a step up. There's at least a few things to, you know, have to hope for that it could be fun for the game.
I would have been more excited if they said
RPOs could be fun
too. They're gonna be broken.
Or it could be a disaster.
I would
but
play
like,
actions in this game it, throw you into a sack.
It could be a disaster too, but it's still something to be hopeful for. You're like, hey, if it does work, this is gonna be awesome. But you know, there's just a big chance that it won't. But
it's just gonna be Julius Peppers in the fucking throwing lane, just fucking jumping up and catching a pick.
I really hope RPOs are good because I know that they really wanted to put it in last year, but they did not want to rush that. For that reason, they wanted it to be polished and worked and not be some glitchy half-assed thing. So I'm really hoping it works because they could have for sure put that in last year and rushed it if they wanted to. But I think they did the right decision not to do that, even though people wanted it. I'd rather wait a year and have it work properly. I think most people would agree with that. So I'm just hoping that it actually does because they took the time to do it. But who knows?
Yeah, like, what do you think the new game mode's going to be for this? They teased it out. They probably won't. I don't know if they'll be ready for the beta, they said. What do you think it's going to be, Rayweather?
I have no clue. None. But I'm hoping it's something that will increase the skill gap. But they said it kind of worries me a little bit just because the way they worded it in an article, they said it was something they put in to like kind of fix a bug. So it kind of sounded like they implemented something to almost like Band-Aid fix a bug, but then like it took on a life of its own and became a good feature. So I'm like I'm wondering like what the hell could that be? So that I feel like that has to be something that would potentially make the skill gap better. But I have no clue. I still haven't been down there this year. He's been kind of weird this year with like bringing people down, like. I'm sure I'll go down for, like, the actual Madden capture, like, in, what, probably July, I would hope. But, I mean, I really, other than what they've put out, I don't know anything about the game. So, I'm just hoping it's a skill-based mechanic. But, I mean, like, what could it even be? Like, it's one of them things where you try to think about it and you can't really come up with nothing. And then when you, like, find out what it is, you're like, oh, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like, what is a big bug? Because I feel like, okay, if it's something they put in, if they built something out to fix a bug, then it had to be a pretty big bug. So, like, what would that be? What's a big bug in the game?
Me and Texas speculated a few weeks ago on, like, we think of, like, zones maybe were buggy, so they put in, like, a 7-on-7 mode. That's all we could come up with, though.
Right, but why would a 7-on-7 mode, like, fix a bug, though, is what I'm saying. That's what they said in the article, right? It was something they built.
Yeah.
But 7-on-7 like, would be fucking awesome for Madden.
Yeah.
God, that would be awesome. I don't think it's that, though.
No.
I feel like it's a game, because it was in the gameplay article too. I think on Game Informer, so it's got to be a gameplay mechanic. I just don't know, like, because I've been trying to think about that too, and I don't understand what it could be, because it's like, what are the bugs in the game? Like, blocking is an issue, you know, aggressive catch is kind of an issue, zones, not, I guess. I don't think the zones are the worst in the world, but they could be a little bit better. I mean, but. I mean, they could be a lot better, but, I mean, they're not as bad as they used to be, I don't think. So, it's like, I don't know. Like, what would it be? Like, gosh, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
But I hope it makes a game, because I'm always for more, you know, if it's something they can get in. I think it will be, just because, like, the way it said in the article was, like, they felt, like, the way they said it was, like, it's planned for the beta. So it's like, well, EA is usually, I mean, I know EA. They're not going to say that if they don't think it's going to be in the game. Like, EA is really big on, like, not mentioning shit if they can't deliver it, like, in terms of, like, a feature. Like, oh, yeah, we're going to put this, we got something big that could make the game, and then it doesn't make the game. Like, I don't think they would say that if it wasn't going to make the game, you know? Because they will not, I mean, you know, you've talked to Kralo enough times, like, they will not even allude to shit for the future because they don't want to set an expectation that they can't meet. And they already do that in terms of, like, yeah, you know, we're listening to feedback and we fix this, and you're like, well, it's not fixed. So they definitely don't want to set expectations in terms of, like, something coming to the game and then it never comes. Like, so,
yeah,
whatever it is, I believe it'll make the game. I don't know what it could possibly be, though. I hope it's good. In fact, they mentioned it like it was some big deal. So
yeah, you gotta get your inside connections at work on that. Get that shit out. That'd be quite the cool video. Learning what
only
that
thing
is.
Only thing I heard about at any point of the year ahead of time, like, just like rumors, was like the career mode shit. But like everybody heard that, so it wasn't even like that wasn't even like a special like thing. I think anybody that was in the community heard a rumor about that coming back. So
well,
I haven't heard anything else.
Well,
like,
yeah,
rumor really wise.
I was surprised when I tweeted out, I don't know, September, October, that the creative director for Madden was like, hey. He's like responding to people about a career mode. I'm like, so we got a career mode confirmed here? And like, I didn't get any engagement on it. And I was like, oh, okay, I guess nobody fucking cares about career
mode. I mean, yeah, like again, that, like, even when I made my video about it, like, that was what I was going off of. Like, yeah, I had heard rumors and stuff from people in the community, but it's like, I know how EA operates. Like, if the creative director, like, was just that out front about it, like, yeah, we got you. Like, they're not going to say that if they're not planning to put it in the game. And it just made sense because, like, I think that was always the plan with a long shot was to, like, that to be the groundwork for what would be a career mode. Because, I mean, it does make sense. Okay, we're starting as a QB. Yeah. Like, all that stuff is already built out for it. It's not the same as long shot, but it's built – it's off the groundwork of what long shot is. All that shit, it's already there. So it just makes sense. It was like, okay, we could get it in this year with just QBs because we don't have to probably do as much other than throw the scenario engine into it and let that work and do the little college shit, which probably wasn't that hard. But actually building it out to have all positions, like, that's something that's would be timely and cost a lot. So that's probably why they did it the way they did it. But EA's never going to, like, allude to shit if they're not. Like, I see it all the time. Like, the ratings guy, equipment guru, like, Clint even sometimes. Like, when they allude to shit on Twitter, like, it's something that is happening. It's just a matter of when it's going to happen. Like, they're not alluding to something that is not, that they don't already know is going to be a thing because they don't want to set an expectation and then people be like, oh, well, you were, like, making us believe this was a thing and it didn't happen. Like, screw y'all, you know? So, that's like an inside tip. If you see them, like, allude or mention shit, like, it's going to happen.
Like, how many views you get on that video off that one tweet?
The career mode one?
Yeah.
I think, like, 320,000.
Jesus Christ. I got 10 likes.
That was,
God damn it.
That was the start of, like, the channel, like, shifting and, like,
yeah,
me doing more news and
fuck,
stuff like
that. Fuck, I
should
have done a video like that on it.
I don't know why. I mean, didn't you?
No.
You didn't?
I didn't do a video because I didn't. Because I was like, oh, nobody really cares about it. Once I saw, like, oh, hey, we got a career mode next year. And it seemed like nobody gave it a fuck, so I didn't make a video on it.
That could have been the one, man. You could have had to
Coulda, shoulda, woulda, you know, all the missed opportunities. But I'm just jealous. Don't mind me. Hey, what do you think about, we'll bring Tex in. Tex, unique playbooks next year. They're saying they're bringing in unique playbooks. Are you for that or are you skeptical?
Unique playbooks in terms of
like they're updating like the team playbooks.
Didn't they say they did a patch this year or whatever, an update to where they can actually update playbooks and they just abandoned that idea?
Yep.
I don't fucking care. Like, we'll see what they decide to do. It'd be kind of cool to see because like it'd be kind of realistic to like have actual playbooks that reflect how teams play, but like I don't know if they're gonna spend the time to kind of like look and see like, okay, so the Eagles run this particular play a lot, so we'll put that in Madden instead of just kind of keep everything basic. It'll allow variety instead of people running the Patriots playbook the entire time. There'll be actual other playbooks that are viable, so if they continue to update it, I'll be here for it. But can't trust these motherfuckers till you see it in play.
I mean, that is how they do the playbooks, though. Like, even though there are, like, certain plays that are in a lot of playbooks, because, I mean, certain things are ran a lot in real life, but they really do that. Like, I know there was, like, a point, like, years back where they wanted to, like, somebody wanted something added to the game, and they were, like, I think it's when they put pistol-tight slots into the game, because I think, like, Zan and Lights were, like, pitching the idea, and they were like, yeah, we could put that in the pistol playbook, but we can't put it in any of the team playbooks, because no team is, like, run it. And, like, they're, like, really, like, serious about that. If a team hasn't run it, they won't put it there. And then I think the following year, like, the Texans ran it for, like, a couple snaps during the season. So then they put it in the Texans playbook the following year. So, like, if the team, like, has not run it, at least for the most part that I know, they're not going to put it in the playbook. And that's why you see certain things, like, Panthers playbook has, like, different QB runs than the majority of the playbooks, because those teams don't run that shit. And they bring in, like, actual – like, the guy that does the playbooks is a fucking genius. Like, if that guy could get all the resources in the world, Anthony White – if that dude got all the money and resources in the world, like, man, the playbooks, the gameplay, the zones, like, all that shit would be fucking phenomenal. But it's just about he only, you know, gets so much each year, so he does what he can with it. But he, you know, they bring in, like, coordinators. Like, they bring in, like, real playbooks. Like, he showed me on his phone before, like, actual, like, playbooks of a team. And shit's it's so much crazier how complex the real-life playbooks are, like, versus Madden. Because everything in real life is, like, by down and distance, like, the play calls. So it's not, like... in Madden, okay, you just go to shotgun bunch and it's like you pick whatever play you want. It's like, no, they have a play for 1st and 10, 1st and 7, 1st and 5, 1st and 1, like whatever. You know, like they have every scenario, and then there's like 100 or so plays for each down and distance scenario, red zone, you know, hash marks, like all that shit. So it's just crazy to see that. But like, so they get these real plays from coaches. They have those guys come in, give their input on how the stuff should work and things like that. So if it's something a team doesn't run in real life, you're typically not going to see it in their playbook. But I think they're trying to start building that out more now. I think, like, a playbook overhaul is probably coming at some point. I don't really know if it's this year. They're kind of making it sound like it is, but I don't know. Because they still, to my knowledge, they still need to redo the playbook system in general. Because, like, they can only add, to my knowledge, like, so many plays because of the current system they're on. So, like, eventually that's a problem, because then you have to take stuff away if you want to add new shit. But I don't really know, like, the details of it. But I think they have to, at some point, they're going to have to redo the system. And I don't know if that's this year. That'd be cool if it is. If that's what we find out on the 23rd, that'd be awesome, because that's really needed. People are still going to gravitate towards the same shit. Don't get me wrong, but at least having the options for the people that want it there, it's fun for those people. And you might see a little bit more diversity just by default. You know, you still have, you know, like, rest in peace, the true boys of the world that would do his own thing regardless. But, yeah, like, competitively and online, you're still going to see people gravitate towards the metas, so...
yeah,
I don't think that changes, but...
I think I totally agree with you. Not that there's only one thing that's effective. It's just when they see something that's effective, it's a copycat league, basically. So there are multiple offenses and defenses that work, but now that they saw, like, some high-end competitive players run 3-5, everybody's running 3-5. So I no longer feel any
gaps. Well, yeah, even look at, like, Drini, you know, just won the Madden championship. It's like he wasn't running bunch at all, I don't think. Not really. He was mainly running, like, tight slots. And not to say that tight slots is, like, an uncommon formation, but this year you didn't really see many people not competitively running it. They were mostly in bunch or, like, a trips tight end. But he was mainly, you know, doing his thing out of tight slots, you know, running the ball and just, like, being a smart player, because he's, you know, a defensive player. But it's like he still won it running an offense that really you didn't really see run. So it's like, it's still possible. People think you only have to stick in bunch, but, I mean, we know how people do it because it probably gives you the best chance. It's probably the easiest formation in terms of, like, making those progression reads if you have the right type of routes on the field. The spacing's good. But you can be successful in this game. I mean, something serious. He didn't win the whole thing, but look how far he got being different, running spread stuff. Like, so it can happen. So for the people like that that want to play like that, it's great to have more options. But, yeah, you're still going to see 80% of the field doing the copycat, the easy stuff to mimic. The stuff that works and is tried and true, you know, but
yeah,
and that more is never bad, you know, in terms of, like, options.
And how much do you think it's the Madden team's responsibility to make sure the meta is diverse?
See, I mean, it's obviously their responsibility, but it's like, I don't know how much it matters, because I think no matter what they do, people are still going to gravitate towards a main thing. I don't think there's any way around that. I don't see it, because no matter how realistic you make the game, it's still a game at the end of the day. It's still a line of code. There's always going to be a way around certain things. There's always going to be stuff that's more effective than others. It's like, I don't think there's any way you avoid that. But in terms of, like, their responsibility, I think it's their responsibility to give us more options. I mean, they can't control what we do. It's up to them to give us more options and to try to fix things that are maybe wrong with the game. But, I mean, that's a slippery slope, too, because we know how the patches are, you know. If it's a big thing, fix it. If it's something there's workarounds for it, I'm more in favor of leaving it just because I'd rather have something that can be worked around than causing more issues. But I think it's at least their responsibility to a big degree to put the diversity there and at least give the options.
Yeah.
They can't control what we do once we have it. I mean, it's just we're going to do what we do no matter what.
Yeah, definitely agree. Tex, what do you think about the meta being the Madden developer's responsibility?
I mean, if easily, because like it's the thing about it's annoying is like if they didn't want people to run these certain plays, they can ban it. So, like, they can ban these ridiculous blitzes and these ridiculous formations and say do something different for these competitive players. But they don't want to do that. So if they don't want to tell them, how about you give them, like I said, more options? So just give us more different looks and playbooks, or just, I don't know, have maybe more bunch in all the playbooks, so that way it can just get a little more variety, a little more read options. So this is something more entertaining, because nobody wants to watch bunch, tight slots, bunch, and fucking competitive scenes. So
I'm actually surprised they don't ban some stuff, because tournaments back in the day, like 360 PS2 days, like tournaments would ban stuff all the time. Even EA, like challenges, there would be certain things you couldn't do that was like a known, like really game-breaking type glitch. They'd be like, they couldn't just be like, okay, ban nanos, because it's just like certain things you can't just put like a, like what's a nano at some point? Because like, a nano could just happen by accident. You can't just ban something like that. But there were like certain known things that were bugs or that people could trigger, and they'd be like, you can't do this. And if you do it, you know, you got to punt the ball or whatever the case may be if we catch you doing it. You know, you couldn't try to block kicks back in the day. Now it's encouraged. It's like, it's kind of weird how different it is now. Like now it's just like, oh, swerve, whatever, you know, do whatever you want.
Out here in these streets,
yeah, like,
man.
But back then when it was like, when it was actually like out the mud,
the game
and like
sucked.
No, it's not because the game.
The game sucked.
Like it's just
then.
Weird. Like it didn't even have like near the audience like competitively that it does now. Like we didn't have Twitch, we didn't have it on ESPN. I mean, they had Madden Nation on ESPN, but it's like they wouldn't let a lot of stuff slide back then, and it wasn't on the type of like platform that it is now. But now it's just like, yeah, just do whatever you want. Like, but I mean, it's not like they can ban bunch, you know? It's like you're still gonna see like that what. To the average person looks like boring gameplay, or even to us it could be boring, but at least we understand what's happening. So it's, you know, but the person that doesn't understand what's happening, they're like, wow, they're just running the same play or just flipping the formation, you know. They can't stop that. I mean, that's just, can't ban a formation. So I don't know.
Yeah
I think team play needs to become a thing Madden competitively. Like that's more interesting to watch. I mean, you still need to have the one-on-one, but when I watch people stream, like competitive players, like streaming, like mud squads, like that shit is more entertaining because they're laughing, they're joking, but then they're also doing team strategy. It's like that actual back and forth between the players, like when big moments happen, like celebrating as a team, like that is interesting to watch rather than just watching bunch get flipped three times. Cause, you know, at least with 3-on-3, like there is different strategies that come into play. You can't just run bunch. You have to run different stuff because you have multiple users on the field. Like you have to get creative. So I think they need to try to find a way to make that part of it. I think that could really help grow it more than just the one-on-one thing. But I think they have to be looking towards that at some point. Even if they just start with duos, like start with something, you know, like the team play in competitive like esports is such a big deal. Like how many people like to really watch one-on-one people play? People like the 2K League because it's a team. People like watching like the Call of Duty type tournaments because it's teams. Like it's just more fun to like. And you have a team that you like and actually root for a team instead of just rooting for a player. I don't know. It just makes sense to me. I would hope they're looking into it. I think they would have to be. But,
from what I've seen of
hopefully.
Numbers, they argue most people do not like watching the team play stuff. The numbers go down.
Really?
Yeah, when I've seen
team like, well, play happen. Like whose numbers, though? Like, who, like what, is there like a certain game that has both and their numbers
oh,
are lower?
Oh, no,
for
sorry.
Team
I'm
play?
Talking about Madden. Like, when I put out team play videos or Mud Squads videos, that shit, that it didn't do as well as regular videos. Other
no,
games,
I
that's
think,
fine. That's fine.
Yeah.
But there are other competitive, no, think, there are other competitive esports like fighting games that are one-on-one.
Right.
Yeah. Hearthstone.
No, I think on the competitive scene though, like with their platform, if they're like, if you're just a viewer and you happen to catch it on ESPN when they have it on ESPN, or you just happen to come past their Twitch, I think the team play would be more interesting for people like that are just like seeing it for the first time and be like, hey, let me check this out. Rather than like if you just watch the one-on-one, like. There's a good chance you're clicking off of that quick because it does look boring to the person that know better. But if you come across the team play and you see people interacting and like there's more emotion there, I feel like that would have to be more entertaining to the casual viewer, which is who they want to attract, right? Because there's only so many hardcore people. Like, you need to attract casuals in order to grow.
And most successful esports are, besides fighting games,
it's
are
team play. Right? Yeah, like, exactly.
Fighting games are something different because it's actually entertainment there because it's more technical skill. Madden is boring as shit. A lot of downtime. The way they shoot the shit this year, too, is like, they'll take a timeout at halftime, take a timeout at fucking the third quarter, do a weird interview for some weird reason. Like, it's like, what is this? It's not like 2K where you're watching like five guys have to be in unison with another, have to understand what the rotation that had to happen to cover other people's mistakes.
I feel like Madden is it. I always say like Madden is like is a weird esport though, because it's like, I don't know, like I guess basketball, like being more fast paced too, it's like those big shots in basketball, like crazy moments. Like obviously in Madden you have like crazy aggressive catches or stuff like that, a crazy lurk, you know, like those get those exciting moments too. I don't know, I feel like Madden's a hard game to appeal to the casual when they turn in and you're just running the same shit. Like, to appeal to the casual, I think you need that team play because you need that emotion. There's more emotion in team play than one-on-one. One-on-one Madden's very, even just, like, from a banter standpoint, it's like, yeah, we saw the stuff with, like, Spotto and Skimble, but that's even rare. Like, you don't typically see that. Most people are pretty quiet when they're playing Madden. So it's like, you need to add something to it to make it more exciting. The NBA 2K, it's like, other than just being team play, it's still like it's a more fast-paced game, you know. You're seeing like more highlight plays, big shots happen, and yeah, I don't know. I just Madden needs to find something to make the competitive scene more entertaining. Because I kind of go back on what I said last time I was here. I was like, I just don't think there's enough audience for it. Like I kind of after like re-listening to it and thinking back, and I'm like, no, there is an audience because even still, if you go on like YouTube and you watch like the guy Compton that re-uploads some of these, some of those videos get a million views or like 600,000 views. So there are people that want to see it. Even though some of those people are probably just watching to like try to lurk the stuff and learn, but there's definitely an audience, but you have to find a way to make it more entertaining. And right now I think that's where Madden's struggling, is like the entertainment isn't quite there yet, but it could be if they, you know, make some adjustments.
Yeah. We'll see where they go next year with competitive Madden and how they market it, but it seems to have gotten and grabbed a hold of an audience both on television and on Twitch, it looks like. I know there's some debate in the community on that, but it looks like it's growing, so good on EA for growing that. Hopefully it keeps going and they can, you know, refunnel back more money back in the community for those competitors and stuff. I don't know. Is that it? I'm out of topics for the podcast. Anything else you guys talk about before we check out? Checks?
I just want to say this. If EA comes out and says they're going to make ratings matter for Madden for Mutt 20 and then they're going to fix the offensive lineman mechanics and make them actually smart, I can ID who I want. I can ID the double team, so I can be like, yo, left tackle, left guard, you block this guy, center, don't fuck up this guy, one on one. If I can like do stuff like that, I'm here for it. Yeah. All you gotta say is I'll be sold for Madden 20.
Yep, yeah, O line mechanics definitely need an upgrade. Eric, what thing's gonna sell you on 20?
I mean, what's selling me on 20 is the hope for better gameplay that they've talked about being cleaner and career mode. Like I'm excited for career mode and abilities. Like I'm excited for those two things: gameplay, ability, career mode. Because gameplay being better is good. Abilities could hopefully help the gameplay be better, and it's just exciting to trigger abilities. And then career mode is something that I've wanted to play back in Madden again. Will it be something that I get bored with? That could definitely happen. I'm hoping that I don't. Like I don't with 2K. With Madden, I might get bored with it, but I'm excited to try it. I got a question for you.
Yeah, what's up,
Fox? So you're known for your famous franchise mode sucks video every year. And I'm just curious, what do you think franchise needs to do for you to not make that video? Like what has to change for you to be like franchise mode is awesome this year?
So did you watch it this year?
I did, but I done forgot most of what you talked about, if I'm being honest. But I did watch it.
Did you see my comparison to like the in-depth franchise mode that like say Out of the Park Baseball has?
Yeah, I remember that.
So, like, that's something... Like, so,
just a simulation.
Yeah. So the owners, you set prices on tickets, you get your season tickets. Like, the depth of the mode, like, there's so many fundamental things missing from Madden's franchise mode, from, like, stats to tracking of the guys. Why can't I scout guys through, like, freshman, sophomore, junior year of college? Why can't I see these guys coming forward? And I understand why you can't do that in college, because they have those customizable draft classes and whatnot. But that's hopefully something they can do going forward. It doesn't feel like it offers enough compared to its competition in other games. I think some of the scouting issues, the trade logic sucks. There's so much like it. There's so much that is wrong. That's those issues right there are just scratching the surface, right?
See, I know scouting is definitely big for most people, but like you said, like how would that work with the custom draft classes and things? I'm sure there's a way they can make it work. I feel like I know what I hear from a lot of people is like the main things, you know, that we don't have now. You know, we got the Pro Bowl and stuff like that back, but of what we don't have is scouting, training camp, coordinators / like coaching carousel. Like I feel like those are like three of the biggest things it probably needs back soon, and then. I don't know because I haven't played it in the last few years, but, like, the owner part stuff you were touching on, like, is that still, like, adjusting the prices and concessions, like, back on PS2? Is that still there or is that not there either?
I don't think that's there. When I played the online league, that wasn't there. I don't think I saw it in franchise mode either this year, and I don't think they have that owner mode at all, and they haven't had it since 2. Maybe they've
had it on 360. Because it does seem like to me the last 2 years, like, they've taken steps in the right direction. Whereas the 3 years before that, they didn't really do shit. But it's like the draft classes, depth chart positions. They did do the new archetype system. I know a lot of people don't like it, but it's like I give credit for like, okay, they tried to do something better for it, like even if people might not have liked it. So those were things that they put forward last year. And then this year, Pro Bowl back, that's good. A lot of people wanted it even though a lot of people say they won't play it, but they say they wanted it. They added, what did they do this year? The scenario engine, I think that can be good if it plays out the way they're saying it is. Like, if it actually changes how you have to manage your team, that would be great. But if it's something that's repetitive and not as deep as they're selling it to be, then it's like it's going to lose its luster. But I think those are big changes. They said they addressed trade logic, contracts.
I didn't see the trade logic part.
Yeah, I saw it on one of the articles they touched on. I think they might have briefly touched on the stream, but they said that, like, the things that they talked about but didn't really touch on too in-depth, they mentioned progression, regression, trade logic, and contracts, that it's all been, like, kind of retuned, reworked to be more realistic. But they didn't really, like, go in-depth on, like, how it's different. And I was going to try to do an interview with Swami and, like, get that out of him, but it wound up not going through.
Did management at EA not let it go through?
Yeah, they asked it because they just said, like, because a lot of my questions were, like, asking kind of more about like the future of the mode, and it's like I kind of knew better, but I was just trying anyway. And like, you know, there's just too much. There was just too much. Too many of my questions were like alluding to future shit, and they can't talk about future shit. And but Kralo, the good thing is Kralo like reached out. And he's like, but there were some good questions in there about this year. He's like, so what I'm gonna try to do is like actually get those put in like one of the blogs or like added to like the frequently asked questions, maybe to the franchise blog, because there were like 3 or 5 in there that were basically just like. You know, you've talked about regression or you talked about contracts, trading. Like, can you go a little in-depth about what was done to make it better? Because all they said was that they tuned it and made it better. But they didn't really go in-depth and, like, give examples or, like, you know. So they did say that, but, again, that remains to be seen.
Yeah,
because
I saw the other two things that you mentioned with the contracts and the progression regression. But I didn't see anything about trade logic. So, yeah, like you said, we'll see with that going forward. I mean, like I want, like, storylines and kind of, like, you feel there. I'm kind of a stat nerd, and I always felt a little bit gypped with stats where they're not that many of them. So I feel like maybe at advanced NFL stats, especially with the progression regression this year, where they fixed it where maybe your backups can progress. So, like, you don't actually have to start these players in order for them to gain a lot of experience, become productive NFL players. Because we see it all the time with guys coming up a little bit later in their career and become studs in the NFL. They may be a backup for a couple of years. Maybe they get bounced around. Maybe it's a James Harrison type situation. But that's just not present without the ability to progress them on your active roster as starters. So I want a little bit more closer to real life and a little bit of that maybe randomness of off-season progression, regression that can happen in real life.
I'm really hoping the scenario engine is like all it's being hyped up to be, because that would be a big step, because that's what's needed. You need storylines. You need things that could affect how you manage your team. Oh, you might have to trade a guy because he's unhappy, an Antonio Brown type, you know, people holding out because of shit. Like, that is needed. And I think, like, if that works, then the last 2 years of franchise mode have been a definite step in the right direction, but they still have a ways to go. And if they were to keep making those same steps each year, then in 2 more years franchise mode could be what people want it to be. If they keep doing what they did for 18 and 19, or 19 and 20, if they do that in 21 and 22, you know, add the coaches, add the carousel, add the better scouting and the training camp, and you know, the more owner options, like that would be really good.
Traits,
and then from there, then you just make those small tweaks year in and year out, adding those new little features that like fine tune the mode and just make it, you know, like the little things that only like the super nerds are going to dive into, but it's appreciated by those people that want it. Because right now there's not enough of that there. Like even like you're talking about the stat tracking in general in franchise is just terrible. Like just the tracking of the stats is bad. It's like, you know, the historical data, I don't even think is there, like all of it. So it's like they need to get all of that there. But I think they are moving in the right direction. It's just, will they continue doing so like they said they would, or will they, you know, have a few years where they abandon it again? You know, that's kind of the question. But I think it's getting there.
So, yeah, and we'll see. I think the biggest issue is like they could have taken baby steps forward the last 15 years, and they didn't. They regressed a lot of it. Right. So when we move over to PlayStation 5, what's going to happen in the next generation?
Well, that's
going to take a lot of stuff out. I know you mentioned earlier about the franchise thing.
That's what they're saying. That's what he said. He said he doesn't see that would act like. I mean, he's not there anymore, obviously, but he's saying he doesn't see that would happen because that was the whole purpose of them building that engine and having to gut it for Madden 13, so that once they started building these features back out, they wouldn't have to lose them again. And he also said the guy that like runs franchise, which is Ben Hallmiller, he said he was like the driving force behind why NCAA 14 was so good. So it's like, and for people like Dynasty mode wise, you know, the team builder, all that stuff, like. That was some of the best we had seen in a game, and people to this day still play it. So if he was the driving force behind that, then he's definitely the right guy leading franchise. And, of course, you got guys like Swami in there. We know Swami wants all the nerdy, deep franchise stuff that all of us would want because that's who he is too. So, like, the people are there. It's just hope, you know, and Mike Young wants it too, according to what he says. So, you know.
Are they good enough to deliver? That's the only thing. You can want everything forever, but are they good enough?
Well, like I said, you know, if Ben Hallmiller was driving NCAA, then I mean they delivered then.
He's been in charge of Madden for years though.
Right, but I don't really think it's a problem with them not delivering. It's just it's they have to do it.
Definitely a problem with them not delivering.
No, I'm not saying like in the terms that they can't deliver it. I think they can deliver.
Well, every human being's got unlimited potential. It doesn't mean they're going to reach it.
I think they will. It's just, if they get the resources.
There's nothing that they've showed me. That makes me believe that they're above average developers.
But you don't think the last 2 years was a good step, like for franchise, like in terms of adding stuff back? Forwards. Right. No, they are. But I'm just saying, like, but they were still steps. Whereas we had like 3-4 years where we've like had no steps at all. That's what I'm saying. Like, at least the steps are there. Like, because no matter how much we want it to be back, like, yeah, we could shit on EA for having those years where they didn't make steps and they deserve that, but. For them to get it back, it is going to be like that step. It's going to be that slow drip. You're not just going to get it all back in 1 year. Like, there's just no way that's happening, or even 2 years.
Yeah,
it's going to be step, and then here it is.
Their focus was on the career mode this year, for better or worse, and that's fine. I'm fine with it. But, like,
right.
Baby steps are still baby steps, right? Like, you're giving them a lot of credit for something that they haven't earned.
That's fair. I'm just saying, I think it's important to acknowledge that the steps are there. Because there were years where there weren't steps, so
I mean,
if the steps
is this
continue,
a participation trophy type system?
Well,
here?
No, but
I mean,
I'm saying
just
if,
giving them,
if
hey, the, you tried,
no,
nice
but I'm,
work.
What I'm saying, no, what I'm just saying is, if the steps continue, it's gonna get to where it needs to get if they continue.
Okay, I can agree with that. They could continue,
but the steps
forward,
have to, but the steps have to start for that to even get in motion, and they have. So that's, I think, they could probably still do more year to year. I'm definitely sure, but I'm at least glad that the steps are happening because there was a lot of time where they weren't happening. So at least, you know, enough baby steps will add up into making, you know, getting you to your destination, however long it takes. But I just think a lot of people aren't acknowledging that the baby steps have actually started to take place. You know, it's definitely, they have implemented some things, and it's just, will they keep doing it?
Right.
At what rate?
So a wise man once said, never worry about the steps, just the steps taken. So. Fuck the steps.
They gotta be taking them. All right.
Yeah. So I don't care about the, I don't care what steps they are. Just I want to see what steps they took.
Yeah.
Because they can say, I mean, maybe step cool. How about run, bro? How about run? stop.
Move, you bastards.
How about Deion Sanders high step?
Nah, they not gonna run. I promise you that.
So hopefully they can get some more resources towards the franchise team too going forward. Maybe that's one of their issues.
Yeah, I mean, I'll let you know. I'm going to be dropping a video hopefully next week. There's some good insight in there, like, from a person at work there. So I think people will be interested in
all
it,
right,
hopefully.
Cool. Yeah, that'll be a good video. Cool. Yeah, I'll keep an eye out for it. Everybody, you also keep an eye out for Eric's channel. I'll link it in the description, of course, if you're on iTunes. Go on over to the YouTube, click his YouTube channel, and subscribe over there. Great content. Got some great video essays leading up to Madden 20 here, and of course tips when Madden 20 drops. But Texas will be in the description too. Both of you guys, appreciate it.
Love y'all.
Yep, Eric, love having you on. Our great debates, even though we're on opposite sides, I love having them. It's good to hear from you. And take care, buddy.
Yep. Appreciate it. Thanks for having me, guys.
Last thing real quick, if you guys want to see a game with the true scenario engine, check out Dying Light 2.
What?
Oh, it's a good game?
Dying Light 2 is like, their scenario engine is going to be, it's like Bandersnatch-esque.
Really?
It's ridiculous. Yeah, so check that out.
Wait, when's that coming out?
Like, soon, hopefully.
Dying Light 2. Let me look it up.
Yeah, they had an E3 reveal, and they were talking about
to be announced. It's not even released. Yeah.
Yeah, with the scenario engine, that I'm pretty sure EA's is not going to be as comprehensive because they've been working on this game for like 3 years.
Yeah.
And EA probably only been working on it for like 4 months. So just keep that in mind. Just keep that. That's all I want to say.
They could have been building the scenario engine for 3 years, though. I don't know.
Look
how many years they worked on. I mean, Longshot was shit. Don't get me wrong. But look how many years they worked on that. Look how many years they worked on it before we like knew it was a thing, though. Like it wasn't a 1 year thing. So who knows, but. Yeah, hopefully they worked on it for a while.
I figure they just kind of bailed on Longshot 3, which probably supposed to come out this year, and worked on this, so they probably only worked on it for like a year, if that.
Probably.
Yeah, I thought there was going to be 3 because FIFA did 3, but I think in Madden it didn't work as well as it did in FIFA. Because it did work okay in FIFA, right? I think.
It just doesn't work because what happens is one person gets to upload it and everybody watches that one person and it dies. Like, there's nothing else to watch. Like Chris Move gets the early stuff for 2K, and then you watch his Let's Plays or fucking my career, and then you don't watch somebody else's. If you're a casual,
I'm not talking about for content. I'm just talking about in terms of the game you want to play.
In terms of people are going to watch. Like if people get the game earlier than like, so Chris Move gets 2K a week or two before it comes out, and so you're going to watch his instead of like doing it yourself, you know.
Right, yeah, no, you're right.
You're going to watch Anto the Bosses.
Anto, Longshot, yeah.
You're not going to play. Why play if I can watch Anto play for these 2 weeks and I can just get on Madden and play?
Yeah, I think that's where that move went wrong. If they could have, even if it was the story, but they could have just had more different ways for it to end, that would have been better. It was just too determined.
Yeah, there's only like two different endings, basically.
Right. Yeah.
But anyways, all right. Thanks, dudes. Take it easy. See y'all
Peace.
Next week.